Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll and the very first undisputed champion in WWE history, and you are listening to WTR Sunday Night.
This is Chris Vianney, DNA Knockout.
This is Lacey Von Erich.
I'm Al Snow.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Stampede Kid T.J. Wilson.
Everybody, this is good old J.R. Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You listen to me because you are listening to WrestleTalk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you WrestleTalk Radio.
Are you ready?
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE, TNA, and indie scene.
It's still real to me, damn it!
With your host, Tim Stein.
Hail to the king, baby.
You will bow to me.
Spud. Let's face it. Most of you don't like me.
Will.
I am awesome. I do what I want, when I want.
Mace.
Everybody knows I'm perfect in every way.
And the Omega.
I'm half man, half amazing. I am better than you.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
Okay, well, who was that? Okay,
that was Will.
There you go. Will, welcome to the pleasure. Fuck. Do you wanna, or shall I?
Well, fuck, we both seem to do it. Figured no one else was gonna jump up to the plate.
Everybody's scared, Will. Everybody's scared. But after last Sunday night and your wonderful assistance with the Monday Night Mayhem parody,
make sure you tune into the spam, everybody, because we get our sponsored by itsreallywrestling.com,
you know. Some people may have missed it last week. I don't know. Everybody, good evening and welcome to another edition of Wrest Talk Radio, WTR, Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I am the host with the most. That's right, the one, the only, the originator, the innovator, the guy with style and a tired-ass smile, the one, the only, Tim Stein. Joining me along tonight is most of the usual suspects. We're talking about that guy in Ohio who's probably creaming in his jeans after the Cleveland Browns made a whole bunch of moves. The Spud guy. I'm back, bitches. It's just too bad you're not better than ever. And, of course, rocking the thunder from down under, the one, the only, Mace-O-Matic.
Did you all miss me? No? Okay.
Not so much. And, of course, our very own local version of Redneck Radidio. We're talking about the one, the only, the Scott Hall impersonation, the bad joke that just doesn't go away. I mean the joke about Scott Hall, not you. Will McConnell.
Hey, yo.
Hey, yo.
Another one for the good guys, eh? You know, stuff like that. So, we're going to be doing a little bit of talking about things tonight, because that's what we do, and it's going to pretty much center all around professional wrestling, because that's pretty much what the show's supposed to be about. And we might go off on tangents. Don't forget, we got the two-minute rant tonight. Whose turn is it? Yeah, I know, Mace-O-Matic. I didn't have anything else, you know, like, what else are you going to go with Mace, right? A can of? I don't know. But who's going to do the rant tonight? I think we should let Mace have 2 minutes. What do you guys think?
I'm fine with that.
I'm down.
Just because you fuckers don't have to do any work.
There you go. You got most of the show to come up.
Excuse me, where was your ass last week? I got stuck doing
excuse me, I didn't have the fucking internet. Fuck off, Will.
Oh, man. This is a whole home with family and friends and all. Oh, this is great. Yeah. It's okay. Mace, you were with us in spirit last week. That's all that matters.
Yeah, Tim inherited your internet connection.
It was great. I actually pretended I was you for a night.
if you even begin to talk shit about where I was last week, oh, Will.
Yeah, well, Spud, you're back this week, and that's all that matters. And,
speaking of which, people may think you're a dick, but I really did appreciate the phone call in the middle of the week.
Oh, you're very welcome. Who thinks I'm a dick?
Oh, I'm pretty sure a lot of people think you're a dick, but I can't tell you.
Hold it.
I can't tell you how many "I hope you're not dead" emails I got last week.
I bet it was a couple of them. I think you got that wrong. I seriously think you got that wrong. It's the majority of the people thinking you're the dick, but they're all glad you're not dead because, let's face it, life ain't worth living if you got a dead dick. Sir Rockin', like right on the money for that one.
I wasn't even going to dignify that with a response, but Rock did it for me. No, it was a fucked up week, man. It sucked.
It was pretty bad. I gave you a call midway through the week to make sure that you were still breathing and find out what was going on. So
it got worse throughout the week. I was on my way home. Quick little segue. So you heard about the beginning of the week.
Yep.
So when you hear the end of the week, you will understand why I'm glad to be here on Sunday night, you know, not doing anything.
Yeah.
On my way home from work last night, and I go by the one Wendy's that's over by my work, and I'd never get good food there, ever. I pull up the drive-thru, I'm like, you know, I'm going to try that new bacon and blue burger. Might be all right. Order it without my usual tomato, and go to pull the parking lot and wanted to check it to make sure they didn't put tomato on it. I happened to look at the lettuce, and it is slimy and brown and wilty and nasty as fuck.
Gross, man.
And I'm like, great. So, I pull back around, and I got up to the window, and I looked at the guy, and he's like, can I help you? I'm like, showed him the lettuce. I'm like, would you serve this to your family? He looked me dead in the eye and goes, I don't see anything wrong with it. So after a 15-minute argument with the idiot at the Wendy's window, I got my money back. Go down the road a little bit towards my house. Stop at the McDonald's. I pull through the McDonald's, and they go, sorry, we can't serve you right now. We're in the process of filing a police report because we just got robbed.
Whoa!
I'm like, all right, fine. Go across the street to Taco Bell. Get my food. Finally get food. And I'm pulling out. I'm literally 5 feet from the highway. 5 feet from the highway. And I see red and blue flashing lights behind me and hear the sirens.
Okay.
And I'm like, what the fuck? Cop walks up to my car. He says, you know why I pulled you over? No clue. And he says, well, your car matches the description of that used in the robbery of the McDonald's right there.
I'm sorry to laugh.
I'm like, you're kidding me, right? And he goes, no, sir. And I went, I'm like, officer, I quite literally was over at my friend's house. And, you know, I just got here. I'm like, I didn't rob anybody. I'm like, you think they would remember a nerdy-looking white guy with glasses and a Green Lantern hoodie? And he's like, fair enough. Have a good night, sir. I was just like, really? Really? What a perfect end of the week. My grandfather has a heart attack. My wife goes to the hospital, has a bone spur pulled out of her heel.
Great. Oh.
So that was my week.
And the worst that happened down here is we had hailstones the size of tennis balls.
There you go. That's not a big deal, at least not for me. I'm used to stuff like that, especially coming around this time of the year. But, so that's Spug's week in a nutshell. And so that being said, he had every excuse to miss the show last week. You know, it's like I told him, family comes first. It's more important. But you stop and you think about it. On one hand, you could say that your week was, you know, the end of your week was pretty fucked. But on the other hand,
you could look at it as being a very lucky guy. You didn't bite into the burger, so you didn't get, like, salmonella poisoning or any shit like that. You missed being in the middle of a holdup at a fast food joint. You got your food at Taco Bell. The cops bought your story that you weren't the guy that knocked off the McDonald's. So
I wasn't the guy. I'm like, really? You would think they would remember me if I did. I did.
That's what I'm saying, right? So when you stop and you think about it, you were...
Yeah, I was lucky. I mean, I was lucky that at the end of all of that, you know, I didn't...
Yeah.
I didn't bite into my food, but it was just one of those... I'm driving home. I'm like, what the hell else can happen? Really, what the hell else can happen this week?
So, yeah. So it was an exciting week, I take it. I don't know. Well, has anybody got anything that could come close to topping that? I'm doubting it.
Like I said, we had flash flooding and hailstorms.
So, no big deal there. Couple of guys just...
their train station, one of the major train stations almost got completely destroyed, but, you know, whatever.
Well, it's not like you were on it at the time, right, Mace?
No, but I had a friend working security at the station when it happened.
Oh, okay, that might have been a potential boo-boo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, basically, we're down one individual, and we're wondering if Omega will wind up waking up before we go off the air tonight. The clock is running. And
I do have a theory on that.
Okay.
I know Omega's been working on a little video project that just would not work, so either he's bashed the living shit out of his computer out of frustration, or this whole time change thing that you Americans have gone through has screwed up with his head, too.
What has the Americans gone through that screwed up his head? Called daylight savings time?
Yeah, that thing.
The thing that made you wonder why you're getting a call an hour earlier than normal tonight.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I was absolutely convinced for most of the day yesterday that the clocks went ahead 1 hour tonight overnight. For some reason, I was thinking it was Sunday into Monday and not Saturday into Sunday. So I'm just, you know, whatever, no big deal. Got all my plans laid out for today. And just as I went to bed last night, I realized. So I got out of bed, changed all the clocks over, and went back to bed. I still slept until 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Which makes me feel like...
I'm planning on playing Final Fantasy 13 all day.
Did it work? Did you do it?
No, because you bastards called.
Oh, well, there you go. Damn it, Rock, why'd you do call Mace for just to screw up his Final Fantasy gameplay? Terrible, terrible. Anyway, enough of this family reunion shit. Why don't we get into a little bit of wrestling? Why don't we start off with the probably the biggest news from last week that, you know, the worst-kept secret in all of professional wrestling for, I don't know, the last month, RVD, debuting in TNA. Mace, what was your reaction to his debut?
I loved it up until Sting decided to shove a baseball bat up his ass.
Okay. Spud, what did you think?
I didn't get to see it, and I didn't hear anything about it until, quite literally, until I read the rundown for the night. So, but
okay.
I'm glad to see he's in a company that can utilize his abilities, especially in the X division, if they ever give that division prominence again.
I think that RVD's too big for the X division. You know that. Within weeks, he's going to be in a program against AJ Styles.
Yes, but those two can very complement each other very well.
Yeah.
Very well. And so, even if he's put in a program for the heavyweight title and with AJ Styles, AJ Styles still at his heart is a X division wrestler. And it's where he made his bread and butter to start with
yeah.
in TNA. So, yeah, I mean... Yeah, he's not going to be in the X division, you know, if not at all. But pairing him up with AJ, it's going to be a very good program, and that's actually one I look forward to. that's, I think that's going to be one hell of a series of matches, and that should lead up to one of the bigger, the payoff should lead up to one of the bigger pay-per-views of the year. So Will, what was your opinion of RVD's, debut?
Okay, RVD, 10-second win, 10 minutes of beatdown.
Okay. Now, nobody seems to like the fact that he got beaten down after the victory. Here's the thing, okay? He wasn't squashed. He was beaten down. There's a big difference to that.
I didn't say he was squashed. He just got his ass kicked in his debut.
Yeah, no, I know that. I'm just talking, like, people in the chat room were calling it a squash. And I'm just clarifying for them there. There's a difference between a squash and a beatdown. See, Sting was squashed in the match, which resulted in the RVD beatdown. Now,
Sting was obliterated.
I don't have a problem with the beatdown after that squash. RVD gets the victory. He makes an incredibly strong debut. Pardon the pun. He makes a big impact in TNA. And what they're trying to do with Sting for the umpteenth time in Sting's career is actually working this time around. And that's turning Sting heel. They've tried it before, and the best they ever got was a believable tweener, in my opinion, Spug.
Yeah. I've heard people call it a squash. My buddy Steve asked me if I saw RVD and TNA earlier today, and I had said no to him too. And he said, "Well, RVD got squashed." And I asked him what happened, and he told me the thing that would make it a squash is if RVD lost to Sting in 10 seconds and then got beat down for 10 minutes. That's a squash.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Sting is one that got squashed. But as far as dealing with Sting's heel turn, with him walking through and putting his hand on Dixie Carter and throwing her up against the wall and saying, "I don't owe you anything," and have him walking around just being all grumpy.
You know, I never necessarily agreed with the violent actions toward women in power, so to speak. There was an angle quite a few years ago in WWE, and I can't remember who it was, but they got in Linda McMahon's face and beat Linda McMahon up, and then the Triple H with Stephanie. I never really agreed with that because I thought it sent the wrong type of subliminal message to an already liquored up audience that it's okay to do that, you know, and I just never agreed with it. So having him do that, meh. But you could have gone after Hulk Hogan or Bischoff.
Well, you know, there's the thing, right? The opening, the very beginning of the show, they moved the main event up to open the show, to open it hot, and then you get the internet wrestling community, Mace, grumbling, "Oh my God, it's too much Hogan, blah, 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 blah." Here's the thing. They're not after people like us, the hardcore fans, because they know we're going to tune in. This is something that I feel like I'm banging my head against a brick wall every time I bring it up and then read comments on forums boards or these you know, so-called blogs that people write who have absolutely no fucking clue about what's going on. And they figure that their opinion is what everybody should follow, and everybody should listen to them, and come on, okay? You're trying to grab the casual fan. The casual fan hardly knows that TNA is in existence, never mind who the fuck AJ Styles is. They know Hulk Hogan. They know Ric Flair. What are you going to do to drag people in? You're going to have somebody tuning in who hasn't watched the product. "Oh, I hear something's going on. Let's check it out. Hey, I know him. He's Hogan. Hey, I know that guy. That's Ric Flair." Mace, was it smart for them to start off with well-known names that the average casual watcher can identify with to draw them in?
Given the way they booked the start of the show, giving them the main event match to actually start with, was probably the best booking move that TNA could have made, to be honest. Like I said in my column that was up recently, you know, it was a brilliant booking move, and it was a great way to drag people in and get them to stick around to watch the main event.
Absolutely. And then you get all of these, know everything, 18, 19, and 20-year-olds, present company accepted. that think that because they watch the business and they love wrestling, that they know exactly how things should be done. Oh, come on, they got the best talent there is. Well, you're going to have to introduce that talent to the masses. You can't stuff them down everybody's throat because everybody's going to start choking on it and they're turning the channel off. I don't know who the fuck that guy is. Screw it. The biggest name that they have, aside from the recognizable ones right now, is RVD and the guy who finished off the show for the night, Jeff Hardy. Was that somebody trying to talk, but we couldn't hear him?
Sound like it.
I have an example for you, Tim.
Okay, keep the microphone at your mouth when you're talking.
I had it muted. My stepdad had walked into the room and was asking me a question.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
It would be like Stampede back in the day, before anybody knew who Ravenous Randy was.
Yeah.
Having Ravenous Randy be in the main event and pushing Ravenous Randy all over Calgary, and so that people would come to the show to see some guy they had no clue who the fuck he was.
Yeah, and when I first started hanging out with Stampede Wrestling and videotaping their shows, Randy was part of the he was part of a faction in Stampede Wrestling. He was like the lowest ranked member of this stable, which had the world heavyweight champion, the former world heavyweight champion, in it. You know, and slowly they built him, and they built him smartly until finally, a year and a half later, he won the World Heavyweight Championship title, and everybody in the crowd was treated to pizza because that was his promise. He said when he first started breaking away from the stable, you know, he said, I'm going to win that title, and when I win that title, everybody gets pizza. And it's like, oh, yeah, whatever. But he kept up with that for a year and a half, and I'm thinking, what are they going to do with this? But he kept pushing it and pushing it. Sure enough, the last show before Christmas in 2007, he won the title from Chris Steele, and out comes all of these pizzas. And it was the buildup of a storyline. It's a case of, okay, now you've met him, now watch what he's going to do. And while you're watching what he's going to do, by the way, here are the guys you know.
Right, and I would rather, you know, it was smart for TNA to put Flair and guys like that out there first, because the casual fans are going to see that and go, yeah, I do know that guy, just like you said. Yeah. And yes, you introduce them to the guys that they don't know, and you give them a slow dose of them until they know them as well and are hooked on your product. That's smart booking. But when you oversaturate, and I feel that TNA is doing this, is that they're oversaturating with Hogan because he's the biggest name there. As big as Ric Flair's name is, Hogan's is bigger, unfortunately. Hogan's not the better talent, he's just the bigger name. And so they're oversaturating their product with Hogan. And I think it, to a point, while they're not marketing towards the hardcore fans, you still need the hardcore fans. And when you turn them off, then your casual fan base is going to start to go away.
Very salient point. Will, thoughts and opinions?
I've really not been bothered too much by Hogan in TNA at all. If anything, I'm more bothered by having Eric Bischoff play flip-flop every 5 seconds with each... it's interesting to see a guy who treats every wrestler different, like he's heel with one wrestler, face with another. You can get a reaction out of having Eric Young beat the shit out of Sean Waltman, but then he can get booed for treating Jeff Jarrett like crap. But Hogan has been easily he's been very out of the ring. He's been backstage, and when he's on TV, he's on for 30 seconds, unless it's a big promo. You know, it's few and far between, and that's very tolerable for Hulk Hogan.
Well, I'm going to ask the entire panel here right now your opinions on the following statement, if I can remember what I was going to bring up. But
Alzheimer's is a bitch, Tim.
Yeah, Alzheimer's is a big, big pain in the ass, I'll tell you. But what was I talking about? Anyway, okay, you stop and you look at it and you get all of these people bitching and whining and complaining, you know, oh, it's so much Hulk Hogan, it's so much Ric Flair, it's too much of this, it's too much of that. And all of these people who are whining and crying and bitching and complaining that the lesser-known lights in TNA are not currently being pushed, how many of them do you think actually sit down and watch the product? Or they've got it in their head, oh, well, Hogan's in TNA, so it's all Hogan. Fuck it, I'm not going to watch it.
Along the lines of about 90% of those people that complain are watching the show every week so they can find something to complain about.
Will, what were you going to say?
I said maybe half watch it and bitch about it, and the other half just bitches about it because it's the cool thing to do.
Yeah. Spug, what do you think?
Probably close to three quarters watch. Mace is right, though. The overwhelming majority that do watch, watch to bitch. And I guarantee you that quite a few of those that are bitching about this person didn't get enough time or this person didn't get enough time are either fanboys or friends of those particular workers. Because we all know how workers like to bitch about their friends not getting enough ring time.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's one of those things where if you stand back and look at it, yeah, I bet you three quarters watch the bitch, but I'm going to say that a good majority of those are fanboys of those particular workers and are just trying to shill for them to get a better spot on the card.
Very, very interesting. But, you know, in my purview, I've talked with people who have complained about Hulk Hogan on television, brother. And he's leading off the show, brother, and bleeding all over the place, brother, and trying to walk on broken hips, brother, and replace hips. And I'm like, okay, you're bitching and complaining about this. How much do you watch Impact? Oh, well, I don't need to watch it. What do you mean you don't need to watch it? If you don't watch it, you've got no right to bitch about what's going on because you don't know what the fuck's going on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I find a lot of those people are the ones that read the spoilers and go, nah, not going to watch it. But what you read and what actually happens on the screen is two completely different things.
Absolutely and totally. Don't read spoilers. And if you do, don't pay that much attention to what you read. A spoiler is like, you know, Cole's notes on a novel you have to read and do an essay on for English class. It's going to give you a couple of points, but it's not going to give you the overall feel and tone of the book and what the author was going after. If you want that, you got to read the entire goddamn book, no matter too fucking bad, you got to stay up all night and do it because you're too fucking lazy to pick it up to begin with. But if you're not going to watch a product, don't bitch and complain about it. That's just the height of stupidity.
Oh, I guarantee you Impact last week was probably better than the shit we were served on Raw.
Uh-huh.
Because I did have
to
catch
the shows and have to recap, I'd say you're right there, Spook.
Well, I did get a chance to catch just a tad of Raw. And I tell you what, I don't know where the hell they're going with any of this as far as the McMahon, Bret Hart, John Cena, Batista thing. But they are so back-asswards and lost with it that I wish they would just drop it and start over.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. And definitely we're going to be talking about last Monday night's Raw going up against last Monday night's live TNA Impact. Definitely. That's coming up in just a little bit.
But we talked about RVD coming in, and he got the biggest pop of the night, definitely. Second biggest was, I guess,
the Fat Chick Thriller.
The Fat Chick Thriller, Jeff Hardy. Jeff Nero Hardy. But
Nero Hardy?
Yeah, well, I'll explain that to you later, Spud. But anyway, that was actually a little bit of an inside for Rock and from Rock, too. But, yeah, so Jeff Hardy gets the second biggest pop. It's his second appearance this year, if you will, in TNA. Everybody's all excited about RVD, and they're chanting RVD even before it came out. And
that's because Taz spoiled it, goddammit.
Well, yeah, no, I liked what Taz did. He's talking about, you know, somewhere in the world it's 420 or something.
And, he asked JB, where were you at 420 this afternoon?
That's it. Yeah, where were you at 420 this afternoon? Now, don't you think, Tanay, don't you think that there are a few people that might not have picked up that reference?
Oh,
anybody who watched ECW One Night Stand, the first one, would get that fucking reference.
Yeah. But, you know, the casual fan who didn't watch it and hasn't watched wrestling and all of a sudden all this buzz is coming on, you've got maybe 5% of the audience that didn't clue into that when they heard it. And you probably got about 15% that didn't pay any attention when it came through. And then there's the rest of us going, oh, RVD's on next. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm sorry, Omega. I didn't mean to steal your thunder.
Ha, ha, ha.
Womp, womp, womp. Anyway, so, you know, RVD and TNA is nothing but a good thing for the product. That's the bottom line. On the tail end of that, we saw Sting's heel turn basically get put into high gear, get turned into high, you know. And he spent 10 minutes beating the crap out of RVD. People are saying, oh, that sucks, boo, 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 it sucks. Here's the thing. You're supposed to say, oh, that sucks, and you're supposed to boo it because they're turning Sting heel, and what's more credible than a 10-minute beatdown on somebody who can't defend himself no matter how hard he tries, even though he just squashed your ass in 10 seconds. And up comes Hulk Hogan, and Hulk Hogan, while he's being held back by 15 security guards, takes another baseball bat to the ribs.
That's when they start freaking out. Oh, we need help out here.
Yeah, you know, I mean, come on. But Sting turning heel, should that be the focus of the company?
I really don't see this lasting. After Sting's initial turn at the start of the night where he hit Abyss and Hogan, you notice when he comes back out and Taz and Tanay are going, oh, he's getting a reaction that I've never seen, yet there are people in a crowd clearly doing the whole we're not worthy gesture at him and cheering their asses off for him. Sorry, you could have put anybody out there. I'm talking you could have taken guys with universal appeal like Stone Cold or The Rock, have them beat the shit out of RVD for 10 minutes, and they would have coming out looking like the next Hitler. The fact remains that give it two to three weeks, Sting will start getting those cheers back.
You mean just like his last
heel turns.
Yeah, well, you got to remember one thing, you know, at the same time, Mace, you're talking about, you know, the we're not worthy. You have to remember, this is coming from the Impact Zone Zombies. And I'm sorry, but the majority of people that pack into the studio to watch TNA tapings are not, you know, they're not typical, they're not accurate representations of the typical fan.
True, but you got to realize that the fans that are there are the ones that are portraying the excitement of the crowd to the people at home. I can tell you now, there was a lot more cheers when Sting came out for his match than there was boos, and give it a couple of weeks, it'll go straight back to being that. Sorry, Spug, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, you're all good, man. Part of the problem with the TNA crowd is that it's 85% tourists and 15% hardcore marks in the Orlando area. That just mark for TNA and nothing else. And you're right. It doesn't give an accurate representation of the total wrestling fan base that watches TNA, but the
It does, however, give us the accurate representation of the hardcore shills that watch TNA, and a lot of us wrestling fans don't want to be associated with them. Why? Because they're fucking delusional.
Well, that's a pretty interesting point, and I think there's a lot of validity to it. But Omega, despite the fact that the fans were reacting to Sting despite this heel push, don't you think that instead of dropping the whole idea of turning him heel, that TNA might actually push harder now to get more people to hate him, quote unquote?
Well, that's why the first night you peg Sting as a heel, you have him beat down the most anticipated newcomer to TNA that they've ever had. And
yeah,
that's the whole reason for a 10-minute beatdown of the guy that everybody has been anticipating. You know, everyone is going, oh, well, that sucks. Well, why would you squash the guy? You know, why would you beat down the guy that just came in there? And I think that was on Jericho's Twitter, no less, if I recall correctly. But you know what? RVD doesn't need it. He's RV fucking D. He doesn't need a 10-minute squash, then get out of there and, you know, live to fight another day. Hey, I'm here. He's going to be the hottest thing on TNA for months, no matter what you do to the guy. Sting, he needed that. They wanted to demonize him, and the best way to do that was to completely, you know, demolish the one guy that everyone came to see.
Mm-hmm. Now he needs to kill a kitten.
There would have been a better way to demonize him.
That was pretty much the best way to do it.
L, you know, beating down RVD, yes, but there would have been a better way to demonize him, say, 14 years ago. And I know they're trying to keep him as far away from that as possible, but the best way to have demonized him is if you have Hogan and Bischoff as heels, and running the company the way they want, the way they were doing in WCW, you have him out alive with them. That would have demonized him in a heartbeat.
Yeah, but unfortunately, they're still trying to define what roles Hogan and Bischoff have in the company, because one minute they're heels, one minute they're faces, and then they go back again 14,000 times in an episode.
Hogan is pretty much straight face. It's Bischoff that goes back and forth.
Yeah, Bischoff is going back and forth between being TNA's version of Vince McMahon and WWE's version of Eric Bischoff, if that makes any sense to you guys at all whatsoever.
No, I get it, because Bischoff was kind of a face for a while in WWE,
yeah,
but he was also a douche.
Yeah.
And Vince has been the same way. I hope they define what they want to do, because I said it before, TNA has the capability to bring wrestling back to the forefront as far as television entertainment is concerned, and take wrestling to places we haven't been in 10, 12, 13 years. Unfortunately, the individuals in charge can't see past the profit margin to see that, you know, one, if they continue to try and feed us this shit, that eventually we're just going to tune out.
Yeah, well, the Monday Night Impact show, I have to say, was a better show than the January 4th one, and it was one of the best put-together impacts I have seen in a very, very long time. For those of you who had a chance to watch it, Spug.
Well, I did not, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Well, real quick, on the RVD beatdown thing.
Yeah, Will.
Even though I didn't like it, it did do one thing. I want to tune in and see what they do with RVD next.
Okay, so they did their job. Then what they were working towards was, at least with you, mission accomplished. Okay, and this just goes back to what I'm talking about. People need to start watching wrestling more and commenting on it
less because they don't know, okay? The general fan doesn't know what the fuck you're talking about. And I apologize if I'm offending absolutely anybody, but if you're feeling offended by that statement, maybe you need to look at yourself and think about it. What do you think about that, Mace?
Hell, I know you're going to cross to me after that one, seeing as I put up a fucking column about it.
It's not like I read your writing or anything like that, right?
No, not at fucking all.
Wait, people actually read Mace's column?
Shut up, he actually says some interesting things once in a while. That's right, the mind of Mace, right here, exclusive to the Wild Talk Radio Network, and he's got three up there right now.
Good Lord, it took you long enough to get to the actual plug.
Well, I was being very roundabout and generous about it. Anyway, go ahead, Mace.
First, I was technically four, if you want to actually count the WrestleLicious rip apart.
Oh, fuck yeah. WrestleLicious.
Yeah, I'm so glad I didn't bother tuning into a second episode of that crap.
Okay.
But, like Tim was saying, Impact was a better show than Raw, in my opinion, only because TNA knows how to get the initial pop out of people, how to get people going, oh, look, what's over here? Especially when WWE turns around and goes, and well, we're going to give you the same old shit we've given you for the past couple of years. The only thing is, long-term planning in TNA is not one of their strong points. Like, okay, Will's excited to see where they're going to go with RVD. But the thing is, they could have this set up for maybe 2-3 weeks, and then they'll go, well, oh, fuck, now what are we going to do?
Well, see, that's one way I was looking at it. TNA may have had the better show to enjoy, but I'm going to say that WWE had the better build in their show. In the long run of things, people aren't going to go back and go, oh, man, you remember how great that March 8th Impact was? Because aside from RVD and Jeff Hardy showing up, there was no big build. There was no real impact to it. That's all there was. It was just, here's our Flash, here's RVD, tune in next week.
Yeah, well, the whole build-up, I'm assuming you mean like building up to pay-per-views and stuff like that, Will.
So, there it is. You know, TNA, their debut last Monday wasn't watched by very many people, 1.4 million, but we're going to be talking about the ratings on the other side of our first little timeout tonight. To everybody, the phone lines are now open if you want to call in toll-free. That's right, we're paying the freight on this phone call, 888-357-9876, option one. Or, if you got Skype, just Skype Sir Rockin. That being said, we're going to be talking about TNA and Raw ratings in the next segment, right on the other side of this quick little timeout. It wasn't a WTR Sunday night. We'll be back right after this.
If you run a webcast or have a podcast, audio blog, etc., and you need the occasional liner, sweeper, bumper, or intro, check out VOLiners.com.
VOLiners.com is a free service bringing the internet broadcasting community together. Membership is free and you can log in anytime.
Simply post your script request and let another community member take it from there. It's that easy. Then come back and check your post and download the completed audio.
It's also a great site to add to your portfolio. Gain practical experience by helping your fellow members out and recording their requests.
Remember, it's 100% free to join and use.
VOLiners.com. Voiceovers, liners, sweepers, and bumpers for your broadcast. Join today.
I hear voices in my head. They counsel me. They understand. They talk to me.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present. Such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Matt Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling.
www.audiowrestling.com.
And check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling.
Keeping you tuned in.
Since 1996.
Thursday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network becomes a place where anything goes. Prepare to be sinful. Thursdays, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Referee Jim Molyneux, and you're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep it extreme.
WDR, Sunday night right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Tim Stein along with the usual cast of suspects.
We're all here.
Will Omega finally showed up. He woke up. Must be putting in some late nights there, Omega.
I think he's falling asleep at the keyboard.
Or maybe he muted his mic.
He may have fallen asleep again. He works just so hard, that kid, I'll tell you. It's impressive as hell.
He does work really hard.
Yeah, doesn't he have his own, like, YouTube channel, TJT?
Yes.
So he's got Plastic Addict, Random Reviews, TJTV.
Yeah, you know, like...
Transformers Podcast, and the shit he does with us.
Yeah, if Omega's awake, he's plugging himself. Oh, there he is. Hi, Omega.
Hello.
Are you awake again?
Again, yes, but you never know when I might doze off.
Well, we figured you dozed off during the commercial break because I was setting you up for the plugs and we all had to do it for you. So, but anyway, getting back to wrestling talk, as I promised, we're going to take a look at the ratings. Now, Tuesday, Wednesday, and during the day Thursday, everybody who was all hopeful for total nonstop action wrestling to actually make some kind of a dent on Monday night, we're all disappointed as hell because TNA's rating drew a 1.0.
Oh.
Pretty fucking bad.
Big surprise.
Is that low? Is that bad? Was that to be expected from Monday Night Live?
That's like, well, what, 1% of the population?
1.4 million Americans tuned in to watch Impact is what that means.
Still, it's 1.4 million eyes that weren't watching Raw.
Okay, there's
that. Yeah, but what were they pulling before that?
Well, after the they were, you know, for the last year they were hovering right around 1.0, but then they hit their record high 1.5 on January the 4th, and it's fluctuated between 0.98 and 1.4 since that until last Monday, 6 nights ago.
So they actually did no better Monday night than they have in the last year.
Ah, but here's the thing, and we're going to get to that. We're going to get to it in just a sec. Conversely, Raw did a 3.4. Now, that's right around the medium for what Raw has been doing lately, anywhere from 3.2 to 3.6. So they're right safely in the middle of what they're used to getting. Why did Raw do so well when Impact only got a 1.0?
You know, I have an answer for that.
Do it, Spug.
Vince McMahon and the possible confrontation with Bret Hart.
Which had nothing to do with last Monday's show except the announcement of tomorrow's contract signing.
Uh-huh. And the you know the other one? Who was the guest host last week?
Chris Angel.
That's probably also why.
Chris Angel didn't do anything for that show, I'll tell you. Right.
I know he didn't. He didn't do shit, but I'm telling you, there are a bunch of little girls across the country with wet panties on Monday night who were all excited to see Chris Angel and was hoping he was going to do tricks.
Oh, thank you.
Didn't even make John Cena disappear.
Thank you for bringing in Chris Angel. He's the new Jeff Hardy.
He is. It's unfortunate, but that's, you know, the thought of a possible confrontation between Bret and Vince, because everybody, you know, all the little fans know how John Cena was backing Bret, and so they were hoping to see Bret come out and save Cena in that match. I guarantee it. Which didn't happen.
And it'll never happen. Bret won't come out and save.
Yeah, Bret's not going to come out and make a save.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm still wondering how the hell they're going to do a match at WrestleMania. But
pillow fight.
Laundry pillow fight, possibly. But no,
it's
going to
be wheelchair jousting.
But you look at it, I'm pretty sure that the Raw rating was inflated by the thought of a possible confrontation between Bret and Vince. The thought of Bret coming out to make the save for Cena, and also that Chris Angel was there. You know Raw's numbers are going to be super huge this week.
Stone Cold Steve Austin, guest host tomorrow. Now, you know, that's Spug's thoughts and opinions on why WWE's Raw scored a 3.4. Will, do you have any conspiracy theories?
No, because that's par for the course for WWE. All TNA managed to do was probably just drag the people they had on Thursday nights over to Monday night to watch.
Now?
I mean, WWE had an average show. TNA had a above-average firework fest. But other than that, it was par for the course for both guys. Or both sides, not guys.
Yeah. Omega?
Well, there's a fact that's being missed there. A 1.0 is not a whole lot in the grand scheme of things. The question is, why wasn't Raw's rating even lower than it was? Why wasn't Raw's rating a 2.4? At this point, what it does is it proves that Impact has gotten its nice little nexus of fans and loyal followers who never watched WWE in the first place. They've successfully established that their product is worth paying attention to, and only their product is worth paying attention to, at least for a million viewers out there.
Yeah.
I mean, it should have done more damage to WWE's rating than it did. I was kind of upset that it did not. But at the same time, it proved that they could do just exactly what they do on Thursday nights when they're head-to-head against Raw. And for years, I think we've kind of assumed that, they're just drawing in the casual wrestling fan that tuned in Monday night. And they proved us wrong.
There you go. Mace?
It's not really much else I can really say. Personally, I did not like Chris Angel being on there at all. I think he was very underutilized. And, we got people in the chat room at the moment going, WWE is going to beat TNA in the ratings next week because Stone Cold Steve Austin's on there. My God, I am so sick of Stone Cold Steve Austin. I really couldn't give a shit about him anymore. You know, the share a beer with Brett, if they even let him drink beer. He might have to drink soft drink these days, or soda, as you guys like to call it.
Oh, no, and beer. Brett still drinks his beer.
Yeah, but you got to remember, it's a PG show, so they might have to scale back the beer references these days.
Oh, oh, we got sure, Lucky Charms.
I'm sure the beer will be there. But, you know, I have to contest what Omega said real quick. Yes, TNA pulled 1 million viewers from Thursday to Monday, but that's all they did. When you are moving to a new night and time and going up against competition, the whole point is to bring in some of that competition's revenue and bring it over to yours. And had they done that, they would have scored higher than a 1.0.
Well, I'm going to take a look at the question and everybody's answers, and I have to say that both Will and Omega are closest to bang on. WWE, stay in the course. WWE, they're going to have that 3.4, okay? The fact of the matter is, they could have had a 3.8. And if TNA Impact was not on head-to-head, they probably would have done that 3.8. It's impossible to say one way or the other. The week before that, what was it, a 3.75 or something like that, I think. Don't quote me on that. We'll probably dig that out and find the answer to that for you in just a bit. However, people are, some of them, very, very set in their ways. And you've got the WWE whores.
But
who are going to tune
in? I'm not a WWE whore. If TNA were to put out a valid product, a valid, watchable product, I would watch TNA.
Okay, well, here it is. Last Monday night was a valid, watchable product, and I'll get into why I'm saying that. Aside from getting, you know, the pops with RVD and then actually doing something good for the night. Okay? Yeah, so I was right. Last Monday night, like 13 days ago, Raw did a 3.7. Last week, 6 days ago, they did a 3.4 going head-to-head. So I say that 0.3%, that rating, that 0.3 of that rating, tuned into Impact. Which means, okay, wait a minute. Doesn't that mean that Impact actually did a 0.7? Of their standard crowd? Well, here's the thing. There is an extremely good chance that some people, believe it or not, miss the fact that they moved to Monday Night Live. There is a very good chance that a lot of people just simply forgot that it was on. And to make up for it, they caught the replay. Now, guess what the replay for Impact did Thursday night?
1.0.
Exactly the same, practically. It was, I think it was 1/10 of a point difference. So rounding up, which is what they do, both the live show and the Thursday night replay did a 1.0. Now, don't sit there and tell me that it's the exact same motherfuckers who watched on Monday tuned in again on Thursday. If you're lucky, maybe half that number watched the live airing and then the replay. Which means, when you look at things, Impact actually did really, really well. It took two different airings for it to happen. However, they did, for the sake of argument, round it out, they hit a 1.5 ratings in the ratings.
I'd like to see what Raw's replay numbers on Saturday morning are.
Okay. Oh, Raw's replay numbers on Saturday mornings are like 1.2, 1.3. Seriously, they are,
and
they're like watching an Impact.
I just wanted to know
honest,
what they were.
To be honest, I think a lot of people have it in their head. They're expecting TNA to come out and, you know, do like 2.8, 3.2s, you know, either push really close to Raw's nut. you know, go back to the original Monday Night War, and holy shit, that sounds weird having to say that phrase. But WCW did not turn around and start beating Raw, you know, the what it was, a fucking 82 or 52 weeks in a row or whatever. 85 weeks in a row. They didn't do that straight away. It took time to build to that type of level. And basically, TNA is where WCW was at the start of the original Monday Night War. They're having to build that viewership.
Yeah,
so they're not going to be able to take down the juggernaut straight away.
Well, let me ask you guys collectively this one question. In the entire world of wrestling, from fans to analysts to the internet smarks to the TNA guys, out of all of them, who was the least likely to think that TNA is going to pull a 2 and a 3 out of their ass immediately by going head-to-head with Raw?
Probably WWE, Mark.
TNA naysayers?
No. The people who have been most vocal about saying, we're not going to win the ratings war, we're not going to pull these huge numbers right off the bat, we've got to build the audience. That's TNA, the front office staff. They know for a fact that they're not going to be hitting big numbers right off the bat. This is their chance right now to actually do something. And starting last Monday night, 95% of the people who watch TNA agree that they started doing something. And they know what, Maverick in the chat room, I hate to say, to bring this up because it's Maverick, but TNA knows exactly who they're up against and exactly what they've got to do.
Here is the thing, though, and I was one of the people that said they're not going to pull 3.0 ratings right off the bat. I was also one of the people that said if TNA wants to hook people like me in, they need to build their audience first, and this is how you do it. You start on Thursday by going live on Thursday. Apparently, they thought they could compete against WWE, and to an extent, they are. But we have seen it in the past. And WCW made the fatal mistake in that Monday Night War of announcing the Raw main event, and that's where the tables turned for that whole thing. And once Vince got the ball in his court and got a stranglehold on that, he didn't let go. And unfortunately for TNA, if they slip up once, and being fairly new to this process, they might. Vince will bury them. And it will be over for that company. And we will be back to the same old shit that we have had shoved down our throats for the last 9 years in the wrestling industry.
Will, you got a point.
What do you mean? Sorry, before Will goes, what do you mean same old shit going back to it, mate? We still got it last week.
No.
They haven't changed their game plan in 9 bloody years.
No, Mace. You remember wrestling immediately post Monday Night Wars and post buyouts. When WCW and ECW folded and that failed invasion angle was over, the shit that we got Billy and Chuck and stupid shit. Like, I'm talking worse than it is now, because at least now it's tolerable.
We got Katie Vick in that era.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Now, Will, you've got a point that you want to make. Put it out there, buddy.
Well, I was going to say that TNA has already got a harder battle than WCW ever did. With TNA or WCW, they had a wallet of Ted Turner backing behind them. Not only that, it was an era where, because they had the money, they could lure away guys from the WWE, and they would be there the very next week, and that would get ratings over to WCW.
To further that, just to interrupt really quickly, to further what you just said, okay, they did not have to deal with WWE's 90-day no-compete clause. Go ahead.
That's exactly my point. TNA, not only do they not have the wallet that WCW did, they don't have the time WCW did. During the original Monday Night Wars, we had moments like Lex Luger just showing up out of nowhere on the first Nitro, Rick Rude being on Nitro and Raw at the same time. You know, we're not going to see that, because once you're out of your WWE contract, you're on the shelf
for 90 days. There's no jumping right back in over to the other side. You have to sit around and wait.
Well, there are the odd exceptions with, like, the grandfathered clause, like Charlie Haas. He's not sitting on his ass for 45 days before he can be approached by TNA.
Yeah, the veterans contract.
And
yeah.
Look, I'm not wishing for TNA to fail. I am a wrestling fan, whether it be TNA, WCW, ECW, WWE, NWA, AWA. I don't care. I am a wrestling fan. I will watch whoever is putting out a good, compelling product. And unfortunately for me, TNA has not been compelling enough. It doesn't mean that they can't be in the near future. In my own opinion, I think TNA rushed a little bit too much into this.
Well,
and going by the ratings numbers, as far as the Monday night is concerned, because I'm really not concerned about the replay, because Raw's replay draws a 1 point whatever. You know, when you look at the ratings number from Monday, Raw's rating dipped 4 points. TNA's was at a 1.0, which is what it has been on a taped show on Thursday. Which means they pulled, you know, 0.3, 0.4 away from Raw. Great for them. But that only made up to what they usually get, and that is unfortunate.
Well, here's the thing. This is a bigger deal than people are giving credit for. The Impact replay was the exact same as the live airing, and that is very, very important. So like I say, you know, with that replay, that adds another half a ratings point, which will tie them for the best ratings ever. It's conceivably even higher than that. And you had people who watched Raw, and they knew that the Impact replay was going to be Thursday. So, some people who watched Raw tuned in. They saw that. Now, if even half of the people who tuned in to see that say, you know what? That's a good show. I'm going to check them out this Monday night. Now, this Monday night, everybody, you know, and Rock even put it in our production chat here, everybody's expectations are lower than they would have been initially because they were all disappointed. They were in shock because it was a 1.0 rating. They were all positive. It would probably easily come close to tying the 1.5 record. Now, this was leading up until Thursday. They get the exact same number on Thursday. And then everybody's got to stop and take stock of this. This is very important. This will bring it back up. Now, here's the thing about that. Spike TV saw this. They saw the ratings replay number. And the ratings replay number, okay, you stop and you think about it. Spike, you're saying Raw's replay does a 1 point whatever it is. Well,
right.
They did last week's was 0.93. But that being said, and Rock, to your question, not really. But that being said, you start and you think about it, a 3.4 to a 0.93 is a huge fucking gap. But when you go from 1.0 to 1.0, that's a huge, huge number. And it's people who were watching Monday Night Raw deciding to give the Impact replay a chance. Now, Spike sees this, and they say, okay, you know what? Next Thursday, there's not going to be a replay. No, we're going to show Predator instead. Okay, so next Thursday night in Impact's old time slot, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Predator will be on. So if you want to watch a movie, tune into Spike on Thursday night. However, people aren't going to have that outlet. So the real test wasn't last Monday. The real litmus test is going to be tomorrow. Tomorrow, when their expectations are lowered. However, at the tapings on last Tuesday for tomorrow's show, who's to say the extra effort won't be there? Watch tomorrow's ratings wind up being a 1.3 or a 1.25.
Except there's spoilers out there, which means it'll probably be lower.
And this is one mistake among many that, in my opinion, TNA is making. If they're going to go live every goddamn week. And there are people out there in the blogosphere who write for newspapers
you know, like printed newspapers that have their columns posted on the internet that are saying that the smartest thing TNA can do and Spike can do is the same thing that I've been saying that they should do. Yeah, move to Monday. Why? Monday is traditionally wrestling, okay? Most of us grew up with the Monday Night Wars. Most people are intensely hooked into TNA or WWE versus WCW, WWF versus WCW, and channel flipping, going back and forth, and salivating at the fact that, okay, if you suck, I can turn the channel and see something that doesn't suck. And if you start sucking, I can turn the channel and see something that stops sucking. Okay? The mentality is stuck in the past. It's going to take a little while. It's called inertia and momentum. Once you get the inertia going, you're going to get the momentum behind you. It's going to take a while. It's going to happen. More people are going to tune in. Sure. And there are going to be more people who decide TNA is a better product that have never watched TNA on Thursday nights because they're too busy doing their Thursday night shit instead of watching wrestling. Monday, just like Eric Bischoff says, Monday is for wrestling on TV. And it has been even before Raw showed up on the stage. They had Monday night, WWF had Monday night shows before they called it Raw. And it was two-hour programming. Most of it was taped. Sometimes they did a live one, especially if it was leading up to a pay-per-view. It was a live show. However, it was still on Monday. Sure, you had your Maple Leaf Wrestling, which was a Canadian show out of Toronto, but it was all WWF. And that was for the kids, and so it was all watered down for the kids. And then you had the stuff that pushed the envelope late Monday nights. I even remember coming home from work when I used to manage at 7-Eleven, and I'd get home at 11 o'clock and change to go out to the bar. And while I'm downstairs ironing my slacks, because I never went in jeans, I always wore slacks, and I was all dressed up and looking really cool for a 22-year-old or whatever, I would have my TV on TSN, and I'm watching the wrestling product while I'm getting ready to go. And then as soon as the wrestling product was done, I was out the door, you know. And this was back in the early 90s, Mace, not the 70s, so fuck you. anyway, people traditionally, at least in North America, consider Monday night is wrestling. Spike says, no Thursday night replay. If you want to see TNA, you're going to have to tune in Monday night. Forget watching WWE. Forget watching Raw. If you want to see what we got, you're going to have to tune in. Is this
problem with that, Tim? Is this little contraption known as a DVR?
Yeah.
Or it's TiVo or anything like that, where people will go, I'll still watch Raw. I'll put Impact on the machine and watch it afterwards.
Well, here's
or they could do it vice versa. Not only that, there are people like me who can't afford a DVR, so it's either choose one, choose both, or just watch neither and catch them on the internet.
Yeah, there you go. But here's the thing about that. The DVRs, people using DVRs and TiVo and shit like that, in the United States, the Nielsen ratings are only in the United States. It doesn't take into account the viewers in Canada or the viewers in Europe or the viewers in Australia or Asia or Africa or wherever the fuck, okay? It takes into account only viewership in the States. And people realized, you know, the Nielsen family realized, hey, wait a minute. People got these DVRs and these TiVos. So we can't really accurately measure it. Now they measure what gets DVR'd while you're watching that other program. So that counts in, that factors into the ratings now.
The smartest thing that either one of these companies could do, either WWE or TNA, is to actually embrace the internet viewers.
Okay, now TNA maybe reaches out a little bit too much to the internet.
They reach out a little too much, and WWE doesn't reach out quite enough. But, you know, if you say, all right, we're going to offer on our website the opportunity to watch a feed of Raw or a feed of Impact live from the venue without commercial interruption, you know, for 99 cents or, you know, $2. I guarantee you combined with the Nielsen ratings in the United States and the fact that the internet is global, you would get a better and more accurate description of your entire viewing audience than you would by just going off of the American Nielsen ratings.
Well, there it is. That's exactly right. There are millions of wrestling fans just in Canada, and we get wrestling the same time you guys in the States do, but we don't count. You know why? We're not the American consumer. That is the only reason why the Nielsen ratings doesn't count globally, and it's biased to the American viewer, which, you know, that's fine. It's an American-based thing. It's for the States. It's for American networks and TV television stations to set their advertising prices. That's exactly what the Nielsen ratings are for. And that's the whole thing. People put too much stock into this ratings system. Now, there are other measurements you have to take into account, like demographics. And you hear, we're the number one rated show for men 18 to 37. Why is that important? Well, it's important because that is the target for the car dealerships and the people who sell houses and the credit card companies and the companies that get you out of credit card debt. You know, that's the target demographic. That's why it's so important. It doesn't mean fuck all on the grand scale. Ratings are important because it lets you know how many people are watching your thing, but it's not the be-all, end-all, and it should not be considered a Bible. And this is coming from somebody who grew up with, in Canada, we've got this thing called BBM, Bureau of Broadcast Measurement, which is the Canadian equivalent, sort of the Nielsen rating. It's considered the Bible for radio and television in Canada because, you know, all of a sudden, you know, Fan 960 winds up being the most listened to radio station in southern Alberta. They can set their advertising prices based on that because this is how many people we have listening to our radio station just in your selling area. So, you know, it's a very similar thing. And it doesn't take into account, you know, the network stuff. And it doesn't tell you very much of anything about that. But the BBM, Bureau of Broadcast Measurement, is it's more accurate than the Nielsen ratings. But back to my original point that I started like 3 hours ago, TNA should not start at the same time as Raw. They should start an hour earlier. And then what do? To keep people tuned in, they build up to a fantastic fucking main event that is pay-per-view worthy, and I fucking look. And give the viewers exactly that. Give away a pay-per-view match for free every week for 3 months. Okay? That's approximately 14 shows in a row that you are just absolutely leaving these people totally numbed out after watching your product. And that'll keep them tuned in. That's where your ratings will jack. Going live head-to-head at the exact same fucking time, that's the big mistake TNA is making right now. Go ahead, Spud.
You know, giving a pay-per-view quality match every week is fine in theory. But there are a lot of factors that play into that, Tim, and you and I both know that. The other thing that makes that difficult is the fact that it's going to make your pay-per-view numbers go down, because why are people going to want to buy your pay-per-views if you consistently give pay-per-view quality main events on your free television? I mean, yes. Your theory is sound. It's a sound theory. It's a good theory. I get what you're saying, and I agree to a point. But why would I then want to pay $44.95 or $45 whatever it is now, especially in today's economy, for your pay per view when I can either A, download it, B, go to a friend's house and watch it, or C, wait for a couple hours and listen to a show like Wrestle Talk Radio live Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern or immediately following a pay-per-view.
Nice plug. I'm impressed.
you know, to find out what happened. And just wait till Monday night and see the same type of quality match on the free television.
Well, here it is, Pug. It's one match I'm talking about, not an entire pay-per-view card, okay? It's only one match, number one. Number two, you're going to get the same people spending the same money for every pay-per-view, and you're not going to lose anything there. Now, if you deliver a pay-per-view quality match, you give away a pay-per-view match, one match, over whatever I said it was, okay? And it's that dazzling and that amazing. It's gonna jack up your ratings. Number one. Number two. It's gonna make the majority of people who are sticking around say, "Oh, wow, that was really good. I can't wait to see what they do on the pay per view." All of a sudden, it's gonna help perpetuate the pay per view buy. This is the mentality. This is not something that maybe you would do. This is probably not something that Heartbreak Mike would do, because you guys are hardcore, okay? I don't want to call you smarks. I really don't, because I believe that smart marks or smarks are people who think they know what they're talking about, as opposed to people who do have. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, you know, like I said, I get your theory, and it has its validity, and it's sound to a point. But the problem that I find with it, and I'm interested to hear what Mace and Will and Omega have to say about it, is that you may find the majority of Americans and people worldwide in today's day and age and economy that really don't feel the need to spend $44.95 or $45.95, whatever it is, on the pay-per-view when they see the type of quality matches they're getting on free television.
Well, it's still going to happen. It's still going to happen. You know, argue it all you want. That's fine, and that's why we're here, is to put forth our opinions and welcome everybody else's. Speaking of which, our phone lines are open. Guys, gals, everybody, call in, talk to us about this or anything else that hits your fancy concerning the wonderful, wacky world of professional wrestling. Toll free, 888-357-9876, option one. Or, if you got Skype in. Just Skype Sir Rockin', and he'll bring you on the program. I happen to know for a fact that Alan Wojcik from, I think I said it right, Wojcik or Wojcik, take your pick, from OWW Radio, he's tuned in, he's listening. Nick Anthony of OWW Radio, he's tuned in, he's listening. Maverick, who does Running the Ropes here Fridays on WTR, he's tuned in so he can steal some ideas to basically have something to talk about on Friday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
At least he knows what the A show sounds like.
There you go. He's smart enough to tune into the A show. Okay, we've got people from all over the place doing their own programs all the time, tuning into us and listening to us yap here. So it's not a big surprise. Feel free, if you do your own radio show, call in, talk to us about it. What the fuck, doesn't matter. We're gonna go take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about WWE and exactly what they're doing leading up to WrestleMania. Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. As we go to break, I just want to let you all know, this evening in Los Angeles, it was reported that Peter Graves, the original Mr. Phelps from Mission Impossible, passed away just at the age of 84. We'll be back right after this.
Hey guys, it's Nick Anthony.
And I'm Alan Wojcik. This week on OWW Radio, Nick, another episode of that Wrestlelicious program has been aired, and I think for a lack of better words, man,
piss poor promotion with boobs and garbage, that's how I like to think about it. Plus, Aaron Kendrick will join us, the news, your phone calls, and we'll go back with a flashback in history, man. Piss poor promotion with boobs and garbage, PPP with BNG.
Tuesday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, wildtalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kind of did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of this.
Oh my god, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday night, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
Wild Talk Radio is sponsored by Tripology. Book your next trip with Tripology. If you're finding it's time to get away, you have an important upcoming business trip, or if it's last minute and you need to get there fast without any hassles, call Tripology today.
I'm sure.
If you're working too many hours and can't find the time to plan that badly needed vacation, then stress no longer. Tripology is here to help. Tripology will help you get to where you need to go, whether it's for an important business trip, a last-minute flight out to see a loved one, or that much-needed and overdue vacation. Now is the time to make Tripology your travel agent. Call Tripology toll-free at 1-866-289-9950 or log on to www.mytripology.com and plan your trip now. Every single Wednesday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, Fire on Ice, a brand new webcast based around the NHL's Calgary Flames. You set the topic and you lead the discussion.
Hadlick with Kirk shoots. What a stop by Kiprasov. Rebound. Oh, an even better play. They score. Justin Boyd cutting the lead to two.
Jump into the play as you get to choose who winds up in the dumbass club. Fire on Ice, the weekly show about the hottest team playing the coolest game on earth.
What up, Matt?
Oh, yeah! Ooh, yeah, this is somebody doing a really bad impression of Macho Man Randy Savage telling you to snap in to Rest Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Ooh, yeah, dig it!
With that, but this is that, and that's where it's at. What's up? Hey, everybody, welcome back to WTRC. Let's talk radio. Don't forget, the phone lines are open, and I'm expecting a call from somebody, and I know he's listening, and he's wondering when he should call in. Well, you know, you could call in any old time. Call in and, I don't know, talk about WWE or TNA or whatever the hell you want to talk about. And if it's on Skype, just Skype Sir Rockin', and he'll get to it. That being said, while we're all waiting for everybody to call in, go ahead.
Well, before you throw topics at us, Tim, I got to say this about R-Truth. Is the guy really that starved for attention that when he's on next, he has to make sure that he is the focus of any time him and his rookie are in the damn ring? Seriously. Like, that guy spends more time grabbing attention from his rookie than anybody else in that bloody program.
Hmm.
Drives me nuts. It really does.
Speaking of wrestling.
Supposed to be about the rookies, not the goddamn pros, goddammit.
Yeah, there you go. Hang on a second, Spike. Hang on a second. We'll get to you in just a quick sec. But speaking of white boys, we got a phone call. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
And he hung up.
This is the part where you
I think he's
say,
not speaking.
Whoa!
Go ahead, Spug.
Speaking of WWE, I haven't got a chance to look lately at how the Mania Madness tourney is going.
Oh, yeah, the Mania Madness tournament. The second round of voting is now taking place.
Indeed. So the third round will be available Monday, and then that'll be the Sweet 16. They'll be down to the Elite Eight.
Now we just got to get everybody to vote. Now, if you haven't voted yet, you can still vote to get to where we're talking about. If you look at the top of the page there, right under Media Center, you'll see a little banner that says Media Madness, greatest WrestleMania match of all time. Vote now. Don't click it just yet. Click now. Because if you click it now, then you'll leave the page and you won't hear the rest of the program. But after the show, click that and vote. And you got a lot of categories and a lot of matches that you get to vote on. And every single vote counts. Don't think that it's not true, because it is. Now, have we got Mike?
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
No, I'm kind of upset at TNA right now.
Oh, what's the matter, Punk?
No.
Well, number one, first of all, why are you going to make RVD, who is an all-time veteran, make him have that 10-second win, but, mind you, get whooped severely because of Sting doesn't want his way?
Well, aren't you listening, Mike? It was to turn Sting heel. The best way to do it and make him look like the next friggin' Hitler was to have him beat the living shit out of RVD.
But not like that. You have to realize, no offense, I would rather go and search for Pamela Anderson's gynecologist, but hey, that's a whole different story.
Well, you might have to phone Vita and get some directions from her. But what Mike's talking about here, you know, did the beat down hurt RVD?
Spot. Hell no.
He could have run.
You know what? The beatdown might have hurt RVD just a bit, just a little bit, because you look at it in a psychology sense, and it's a word we haven't talked about in a while. You beat Sting, who's a legend in the business, in 10 seconds or less. And then he beat you down for 10 minutes, and you couldn't mount a comeback, and it took Hulk Hogan, 15 security guards, the Army, the Navy, and the Merchant Marine Corps to save your bloody ass? How are we supposed to believe you're a credible face over a guy that just beat your ass for 10 minutes after you beat him for 10 seconds?
Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't think you lose any credibility when you're being bludgeoned with a baseball bat.
Well, then again, that's Sting's trademark weapon.
Okay, so a weapon. Triple H's trademark is a sledgehammer. He's beat the crap out of people with that after he's lost matches. Didn't hurt their credibility.
No.
The fact is, it's Rob Van Dam. He could have come down to the ring running over kittens with a steamroller, and people would still be cheering him.
I think it's all in the way the beating's taken, you know?
Yeah.
You look at all the people that had to come out to save RVD on Monday night, okay? The last good beating with the sledgehammer that I saw from Triple H was a few years ago before the Survivor Series matchup between Ric Flair and Triple H, which was the last man standing match. Nobody came out to save Ric, not a single person.
No, yeah, that's true.
Ric Flair took that beating like a man.
Like a very old, near-deaf man.
I think the RVD beatdown was at least more credible because he still kept getting up. He still kept trying to fight Sting. He wasn't running, and he wasn't just laying down and taking it. He was trying to get back in there.
Now, let me just ask our caller something. Mike, were you pissed off when you saw RVD get beat down by Sting? Did that really upset you? Were you mad?
Yeah, because...
Did you cry?
No, I'm not you. Sorry.
Did you throw Okay, Mike, did you throw things?
No.
Okay, but it made you mad.
It just, yeah, because, one, why go heel and but use RVD? That's something that's like...
Well, how are you going to go heel? By going after AJ Styles?
No. Not you're going after AJ Styles.
Mike Kazarian in his first time back with the company? Or are you going to go after your biggest fucking signing in TNA in the last five goddamn years? What's the... Okay, sure. Here's the problem. I know, Mav, that AJ is heel. I was making a point, you dumbass. Fuck, man. Stop smoking that shit. Either that or switch to the good stuff out of British Columbia. Mother fuck. Anyway.
Well, here's the advantage of this. The advantage of this was... The beatdown took place 30 seconds after he debuted, which is the absolute height of the reaction and the excitement for Rob Van Dam. There is no better time to beat him down because it draws a reaction from the audience.
Immediately. It's shock. It's like, oh my God, what the fuck? And what have we got on the phone right now? Somebody saying, oh my God, what the fuck? I'm sorry, but it sounds to me like TNA did exactly what they wanted to do. They accomplished the job. They got it done. They got you, Mike, reacting exactly the way you're supposed to react. And you're not doing, oh, no, it's another John Cena, Five Moves of Doom. Jesus Christ. Or, oh, it's Randy Orton. Sure. Jesus Christ. It's same fucking shit. And there's the Viper and the whatever the hell that's called. It looks like the Stunner. I mean, Jesus Christ, man. And then all of a sudden it's like you see this on TNA and it's like, holy fuck, what are they doing? They're getting a reaction. You're not reacting to the Five Moves of Fucking Doom. You're not reacting to the RKO. And I kind of was called the RKO. I was making a point. But, okay, you're not reacting to that, Chet, unless your name's Will, and then it's like, oh, fuck. Until Cena's off the TV, I'm turning the channel and watching Monster Truck Pulls.
Fuck, yeah.
See? Okay? I didn't do the redneck thing, Will. It just kind of sort of hit me. Question.
No. Okay. It's like you being old. It just happens.
It just should happen. Yeah, exactly. Okay, go ahead, Drew. What's your question? Can we come up with a better nickname for Randy Orton than the fucking Viper? Really?
Yeah,
really?
That's
the best you can come up with is the Viper? Well, when you stop and you think about it, he's right. Okay, during the Attitude Era, you had the Rattlesnake, and it was the Stone Cold Stunner. Now it's the Viper with the RKO.
Well, here's the thing. It works when you do it to Austin because it's a rattlesnake. He's prone to bite you at any time just because he feels like it. Randy's close. I want to say like a wolf or a lion, you know, because the whole idea that he stalks his prey during a match, which is a mannerism I love in his matches.
Well, hold on.
Just to further what you're saying, Omega. I'm sort of thinking grizzly. A grizzly bear does not stalk its prey. It does. So, have you ever seen him go out salmon? It stands in a goddamn river and puts its mouth in and bites its shit. That's what it does. That's what Randy Orton reminds me of.
I think he's thinking of those toilet paper commercials where the bears are taking shit in the woods and it just reminds him of the
horse. Yeah, the bear taking a shit in the woods goes and squats beside the rabbit and says, turns to the rabbit and says, yeah, problems with shit sticking to your fur. The rabbit says, no, not at all. Bear says, good, picks up the rabbit and wipes his ass with it. There you go.
I mean, I could see giving Randy Orton some sort of feline style nickname, you know. The way he stalks his prey in the ring is very reminiscent of a panther or a lion or so on and so forth.
Bugs' new pet name for Randy Orton is Simba.
Oh, man. Yeah, I wish we had not said feline because all of a sudden I got a picture of Randy with the feather boa robe and walking around like with lipstick on.
As long as he doesn't sing, I just can't wait to be king. I'm good.
Oh, or it's raining.
Well, we have seen it. Well, we have we We have seen Randy's father getting killed in the ring before.
Yeah.
His new entrance theme, it's Raining Men.
There's a distinct lack of references to Taint right now.
Yeah, Big Usually Gay Trio. Well, there you go. But the problem with that is...
I'm pretty sure they're breaking up the Ambiguously Gay Trio because Randy Orton did not wash his taint. And
yeah.
Ted DiBiase and...
Emma.
And Ted DiBiase and Cody Rhodes got sick of the smelly taint. So they said, you know what, we're out.
Here's the thing. They're turning Randy Orton face and they're doing a good job with it. They're taking a nice slow on that. It's great. But, Mike, you're really worked up about this, aren't you?
Well, that's part of it, yeah.
Don't you think that you're supposed to be worked up?
Yeah, when you think about it, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so they not doing their job then? Did they not do what they were supposed to do?
They are.
Because RVD got the beatdown after he got the win, after he debuted. And they're turning Sting heel. Now, does that not make you want to tune in to see what RVD might do for revenge?
Yeah, let's just hope he doesn't get injured, but yeah.
Okay, bottom line is, you're going to tune in to see if anything else happens, and that's what TNA was doing. They did it, and this is going back to, you know, this is old school storytelling in the ring, and you hear all these people saying, oh, I miss old school wrestling, and then when you get old school wrestling, you get people like, no offense, Mike, you get people like you saying, what the fuck, they had him beat down, that's just so wrong. I'm serious, man.
I am.
You bought the Kool-Aid, you drank the Kool-Aid, you didn't like the taste of the Kool-Aid, so now you're bitching. Guess
Listen,
what? They're refunds, motherfucker.
Go to the store, buy yourself some purple drink, and you'll be okay.
Shut up, Fug.
They got a special on orange soda, too, for a dollar.
Dude, and Faygo. It's Faygo orange sodas. You get 3-liter bitches for a
dollar. Oh, man.
Oh, God. You know what? I'll see you in a couple of weeks. But anyway...
That's right, you're coming to Ohio. I'm going to beat your black ass when you come here.
Shut up.
You're going to have to talk to me about your relative in Calgary there, Mike, so I can call him up and make fun of him, too.
Oh, God. Anyway, but like it said, with the whole storytelling thing, and I've been saying this time and time again, anything you can do, I can do better. And that explains the whole PG version of The Beautiful People.
Apparently Raw can't do it better, dude. They fucking suck right now. Yeah, and if you're saying that any trio that includes Vicky is a version of Beautiful People, you need new glasses.
No, I'm not saying that. It's that they're trying to do TNA, outdo TNA in so many ways, but yet they're failing.
Tim,
before you go to your point, I can explain this. I can explain the Beautiful People whole thing in WWE. Look at it this way. You got Layla, who's nothing but a set of tits. That's your Velvet Sky. Then you've got Michelle McCool, who can somewhat wrestle to a decent degree. That's the other one. I can barely remember people's fucking names these days.
Wait. Did you say Madison the
other blonde with big tits?
Oh, which one?
Yeah, sorry, got the blondes and the tits mixed around.
When did TNA allow a porn star to wrestle? Madison Rayne's a porn star.
Yeah, okay, switch them around, Spug. My apologies, switch them around. And then you've got the no talent who's writing off a family name.
Oh,
which,
Vicky Guerrero,
Madison, Eric.
Before we go, burn.
Yeah,
but here's Vicky Guerrero is the one thing that can make me pine to see Lacey Von Erich.
Ooh. I don't have any problems looking at Lacey Von Erich, just so long as it's not like, don't give her any words to say or put her in any kind of situation where we actually think she's going to do something. Just stand there.
She did herpes.
Honey, just stand in the corner and pop for a while.
I hope you know she doesn't listen to this program and hear us talk about her like that. Because then she might rescind the liner that she did for us. she won't. I mean, Lita didn't rescind the promo she did. But anyway,
Lita hasn't heard.
Damn it, Omega has tried.
I'm gonna say this about Lacey Von Erich. If she can go and do Wrestlelicious, she can take shit from us.
Okay. Yeah. What
is this wrestle-licious I keep hearing you people
talk
about?
Oh, my
Hold it.
Wrestle-licious, we'll get into that a lot later, okay? It has something to do with women who can't wrestle wrestling in two-piece outfits, and we'll go from there. Is that the shit I see on Fox Sports at like 3 a.m.? Yeah.
Yes.
With the really fat biker bitch? Is that who that is? Is that Wrestlicious?
Yes.
Oh, my God. To get back on track here, I could actually brought something up that we can talk about next week. WWE has said left, right, and center. They're not competing with TNA. TNA is not the competition. We don't have to worry about TNA. Mike is pointing out things that seem like they're trying to outdo TNA, doing TNA's own things. That's definitely something to look at. But, Mike, bottom line, TNA did exactly what they were supposed to do. They got the exact reaction from you that they were going after. You're all pissed off and upset about it. Good. Watch the show tomorrow and see if something happens. We got to move on. We got another caller, Mike. Thanks for calling in.
No problem.
All right. So, Mike's gone. Hey, we got another caller. Hey, caller, who's this, and why the hell are you calling?
Who, me?
That's you.
Nah, I'm not calling in. You called me out while I was doing promos with Nick Anthony, and it was like, you need to call into my show. And I was like, oh, okay. What? It's like wrestling. I was like, I thought you were doing hockey tonight. It's like, no, that's Wednesday. Ah, oh, crap.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ellen, now, correct me if I get this wrong, Ellen Wojcik from OWW.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You get it right. My own radio partner can't even get it right.
Yeah, it's Wojcik, not Wojcik. Wojcik.
That's okay.
He's Lacey Von Erich when he says, oh, can I go wrestle? Wojcik. No.
Damn it, Sam.
Alan, I have a question for you.
Oh, dear God.
And it's a legitimate one. I want credit for being funny for a change. Come on.
You are. You're funny. We're funny when we talk after our show on Tuesday nights. The problem is you don't get to talk on the air with us, and anytime you do, it's to yell at Nick for something.
Oh, Tim, you're the one that has to produce that? I'm so sorry.
I have a legitimate question for you, Alan.
Okay.
How long have you been hosting with Nick? Just out of curiosity.
I think
wait a second, Nick. Here's the thing. He hasn't really hosted with Nick. He's been on one show with Nick. The other two he's done himself with Aaron. Okay, so you've hosted with him once. How have you hosted with him once and not wanted to throttle his ass?
I was fine with it. I said it's his show. I'm happy that they even asked me to be a part of it. And I let him do his thing. And the neat part is that I got the little Skype thing that I can type in and go, I'd like to talk now.
Views and opinions expressed by the Spud Guy are not necessarily those of the WTO Network.
There you go. For anybody
else. How good is your psychologist?
This one's better.
Seriously, I need one. So what's happening in the wonderful world of OWW Radio, Alan?
Well, it looks like unless things have changed this Tuesday night, we'll have former WCW and current WSU star April Hunter on. April is a great person. I've known her since she was a part of the 2004 Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup, and anytime you get someone on the show.
Yeah, Natty Neidhart's favorite person.
Oh, if you watch some of the shoot interviews with April, there's a lot of people that were her favorites. And then when she sent her tape into a promotion, everybody off the tape got hired, but she didn't for some amazing reason.
just quick question for you. Didn't April Hunter is another porn star that got into wrestling?
No,
yep.
She was someone who did some centerfold work, and she got called in to be a part of WCW back in the day. Kevin Nash saw her layout in a magazine. I don't think she's ever done any adult film work. I know she's done some movies, but I think they're like the R-rated, Skinamax, B-rated stuff that you see. But I don't know. I've never been to her website, and most of the time I don't talk about that stuff when I'm talking to her. Most of the time I'm just talking wrestling or talking friendship that I have with other people that are friends with her. And unfortunately, you brought up the Wrestlelicious stuff, and I have no idea why, but Nick wants to talk about it Tuesday night, and I'm just sitting there going, why are we talking about the show?
I can tell you exactly why.
Because it sucks.
I got through the opening match of it, fellas, and it was just, after the match was over, I'm looking at my 16-month-old daughter who's playing, watching TV, and I'm going, hey, sweetie, you've got more ring time than these girls. Let's get you on TV. Why not?
My 4-year-old can execute a better suplex than some of those girls on that show.
Oh, I'm sure. I didn't even make it to the next match that was on there, and I think it was a 6-tag type thing.
Yeah.
And it was just, like I said, the first match, it was kind of like, all right, I'm going to get a nice tea, swig my ice. What do you mean the match is over? They didn't even ring a damn bell.
No, Wrestlelicious is a perfect example that if a Mark wins money, he shouldn't try to open up a wrestling promotion.
Oh, absolutely. Instead, give your money to Hulk Hogan. Better yet, give your money to Hulk Hogan, Eric Bischoff, and let them run your company into the ground.
There you well,
yeah.
You know,
yeah, if you're going to crash and burn, crash and burn with style.
I love everybody talking.
Yeah,
you know, one at a time. Go ahead, Omega.
I have no problem. I mean, if you're a moron that wins the lottery and you want to invest in your own little wrestling promotion, absolutely fine. But do not write it. Do not do the hiring. And do not be in total control of it. Get someone who actually... I mean, if you just want to see tits bounce up and down, then, you know, rent a room at the Playboy Mansion for a year. You'll do just as well.
Yeah, no, this kid is like 21 years old. Of course he's going to hire all the talent and do all the shit just so he can watch him jump up and down.
Pretty much. That's what it seems like. I know what probably you guys know about that promotion, and I'm just sitting there as someone who last couple weeks ago we had the owner of WSU, Women's Superstars Uncensored, on the show. We had Sean McCaffrey on, and he was just sitting there going, I can't even think what me or Dave Prazak, who runs Shimmer, is thinking, because it just takes our product that has legit talent on it, that's been busting their ass to be on TV, that are being cut off one by one by one by TNA's show, and you want a fan to watch this Wrestlelicious thing and go, yeah, that sucked, but that I'm not going to watch Shimmer, I'm not going to watch WSU, forget it, why bother?
See, now, I heard the guy from WSU on, unfortunately, not your
That's
program,
fine.
On another program that he was seemed to be doing the rounds recently. And
yep.
Just from the way he was talking up the girls that are on the show and how his shows are done and everything, I was actually more interested in that show than anything else I've heard of about women's wrestling in particular in the last couple of years. I'm now waiting until he gets the... they're doing their third anniversary show, I believe.
They did it already. It was on the 6th they did it.
I just want to point something out about Wrestlelicious. Looking at the roster right now, you got an Asian chick and a bunch of hot white women, and the owner is a young black man.
Wow.
That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
No reading anything into that, boys.
But like I was saying, you know, I heard what he had to say about his promotion and the girls that he gets onto it. I was more interested in that show, and I'm now waiting for him to get a DVD out. Like, I live in Australia. It's going to cost me a shitload to import it, but I'm definitely going to get a hold of a couple of shows because that actually sounds interesting, whereas Wrestlelicious was just, I'm just going to say it as an abomination to wrestling in general.
Now, one of his DVDs had a match between the two top stars of that promotion are Angel Orsini, who used to work for ECW, and Mercedes Martinez, who's their heavyweight champ right now. They wrestled an Iron Man match that had no pins for the entire hour, and then went another 10 minutes into an overtime situation, and it was a buildup of a feud that they had been going on. They came into the promotion together and then split off and had a feud that, and correct me if I'm wrong, if anybody else has seen it, I think they went a full year where Angel was being chased and chased and chased for the belt. She beat Martinez in a cage match where they did the whole lights go down, lights come up, holy crap, Miss Jacqueline's in the ring. They were just, it was like watching the old school Taz and Sabu thing where it was just like, are they going to ever fight? Is this belt ever going to change hands? It was actual storytelling as opposed to what you're seeing on Monday night with the Bishop of Russo, Ferrara, some other guy, according to Russo's book, is the third guy that's doing the writing on Monday night. And then Bischoff's kind of doing it, and Borash is kind of doing it. And the guy sitting in the third row is doing it. And as we all saw this past week, and I know I brought it up on Tuesday night, and I think Tim might have laughed about it. Did you guys enjoy the debut of the newest TNA superstar? Her name is Brooke Frickin' Hogan. You gotta be kidding me. I don't know if anybody saw it or heard it, but yeah, your world tag team champions, nowhere to be seen. The top contenders to your tag titles, traitored and turned on Triple J. For what reason other than Bischoff said, okay, you guys are bad. Go, be bad. I don't know if you were ever good at any point where you were bad. And your X Division champ wins a triple threat, your number one contender, it's like, yep, sorry, this guy came from WWE. Come on in, Shannon. You're going to get a title shot. Why? Because we got to keep Jeff Hardy happy until he goes to jail. Sorry, I'm ranting. I can't help it. I used to cover TNA for 5 years, and the 5 years that I was there, it just seems like, where the heck did those 5 years go? Because they're trying to run that into the ground, man.
See, I'll say this about the Brooke Hogan, well, the first Brooke Hogan segment. I didn't even know she was there. That was because of that Jennifer chick, but she's got two good reasons why I was distracted.
Well, Lenny Leonard brought it up when Tim and I were talking to him off the air, that the show, they were basically ripping off the movie The Wrestler, making it seem like, and I didn't catch it until I watched the replay a second time, and I'm going, holy crap, yeah, they're making Hogan like he can't compete when this just in, kids. He really can't. It's
well,
painful.
Here's the thing about that. Yeah, here's the thing about that, Alan. I didn't hear anybody bring that up. And I'm watching this, and I'm like, you know, this reminds me of the movie The Wrestler.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't need to go out and rent that now. I've seen
no,
it.
No, rent it. Rent it. That movie's awesome. No, and you'll hear Lenny Leonard in the opening credits of it. That movie's awesome, especially when you're working at a theater and one day the day it opens, Edge, Christian, and Sin Bodhi, who is Kazarni, are out front buying tickets, and I'm like, what are you buying tickets for? Come on. Come on in. I'll get you in to watch it. Let's go. Everybody file in. Watch the movie. Have fun.
But you're paying for your own popcorn. What is
no,
it?
No, okay. They didn't do that either.
Okay, this doesn't make any sense. If these guys are making tons of money, fuck it. They can buy my ticket. I'm not letting them in free.
Yeah, now the funny part, you guys were bringing up Randy Orton. I had this flash in my head, totally talking of movies and stuff. Like, you call on Randy Orton a viper, and he's this, he's that. I had a flash to Zoolander where the photographer's talking to him. You're a monkey, Derek. Dance, monkey, dance. That's what it sounded like. It's like, why does he need a nickname of the viper, the barracuda, the orca whale? How about we call him what he is? Asshole. Asshole backstage. Ask any WWE diva about Randy Orton, and they'll give you a great story about him.
Well, not great to them, but yeah, it makes for entertaining.
Well, to us it's entertaining, but hey. that's his old theme music. Hey.
Yep. There you go, yeah.
Yeah, so, have they announced that yet? Is that going to be like a triple threat match for WrestleMania yet? Is it RKO, him, and DiBiase and Cody, or they never announced that?
I don't think they've announced it yet, but don't be surprised when it happens.
And the Mania card is already stacked as hell.
Yeah, I think half of us are in the Money in the Bank match. It's like, what, 25 guys are in that thing climbing to go get a briefcase?
Yeah,
hey, that just means that many more bodies on the floor when Shelton Benjamin botches.
Yeah, if it wasn't a spot fest already, guys, it's a mega spot fest now.
Yeah, I think Mace is the third entrant.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot to tell you guys, I got the contract last week and everything. I'm going to appear on Raw. I'm already on the plane.
Excellent.
All right, well, we're running up against it here. So what we're going to do is just blow past the next break, and we're going to take a look at the Destination X pay-per-view next Sunday night. Alan, you want to stick around for that?
Yeah, sure, why not?
All right, well, starting off, it's TNA World Heavyweight Championship match, AJ Styles versus the Monster Abyss. We'll start with Spug.
Abyss versus Styles, haven't we seen this before?
I did. I saw it in person at Lockdown 2005.
Yeah.
I think it was 5.
Isn't that where Abyss won his first world title?
No. He won that from Sting in the infamous NWA, we can change the belts on disqualification. And I was the only person in the audience that knew what was going on. They were like, what do you mean he won the belt? I'm like, read the rule book. He won it.
Yeah, I remember that.
Go the beer guy in the third row. Abyss, probably. I don't know.
Okay, there you go. Will.
They've already given Pope the title shot for Lockdown. I don't see Abyss winning.
Okay, Omega.
Yeah, especially with AJ still fairly fresh on this, I want to pretend to be the Nature Boy thing. They're not going to let him drop the title this fast.
There you go, Mates.
AJ Styles via Ric Flair interference followed up by a Hogan save, which turns the entire thing into a clusterfuck.
Interesting, but of course you're the predominant TNA watcher, so you've got that experience. Alan!
I got to go with AJ Styles. Like one of your other guys just said, you already got the Pope waiting in Lockdown, unless they screw him out of his title shot. But you got to remember, guys, at one point when I covered TNA from 2004 to 2007, Abyss was like the number one contender 25 different times. He'd go and win a gauntlet for the gold. All right, you're the contender. Yeah, we'll just shove you over here. I can't see Abyss winning it. If he does, it'll probably be the shock of the pay-per-view.
Yeah, the next pay-per-view is going to be AJ versus Pope. Omega?
Well, maybe he's cashing all of those number one contender shifts in at the same time. And even if he gets 10, 20 times on Sunday night, he's still going to be able to keep going in the match.
By the way, the guy who said that the Pope has a title shot next week is the guy your partner called out for no reason.
There you go.
Ultimate X match. Generation Me versus the Motor City Machine Guns to determine the number one tag team division challengers. Starting off with Alan this time.
I'd love to see the Machine Guns get it, especially since they got a DVD being produced for them in the near future. So I go with the Guns. I think Generation Me, Young Bucks, whatever they're being called, I think this match is going to be a spot fest, but then again, what Ultimate X isn't, I got to go with the Guns.
There you go, Spug.
Just to be contrarian, I'll go with the Generation Me. Okay then, Mace.
Am I the only one who thinks it's fucking stupid to hold a tag title contender match on a pay-per-view that's also have the tag titles defended? No? Just me? Okay. I'm going to go with the Machine Guns, the more established team. But in the end, I don't really give a shit.
Who cares? There you go. Omega.
Another vote for the Motor City Machine Guns, because I have no idea who the fuck Generation Me is.
You don't?
You don't watch ROH. Will,
really?
Holy fuck. First, Omega, go find out who they are. Jesus Christ, I've never fallen in love with a tag team so goddamn quick.
Fag.
Fuck off. That said, I really don't care who wins here, because if they keep putting on what they've been putting on, it's going to be a great match, and I'm going to be happy. But just for the hell of it, I'll say the Guns.
Okay, there you go. I'm going to say Generation Me, just because that's what I say. All right, the next matchup is the X Division Championship match. Is Doug Williams versus Shannon Moore. Will.
Fuck Shannon Moore. Doug Williams.
All right, Omega.
Yeah, same. Fuck Shannon.
Okay, Mace.
Shannon Moore, because, well, he's not doing shit with the title. Even though he suplexes, awesome.
Okay. Oh, God, yes.
Spug.
Shannon Moore. Because they got to have somebody for Jeff Hardy to fight before he goes to jail, like Alan said.
There you go. Okay, Alan, go ahead and text.
Yeah, that's the big question. When is Jeff Hardy's court date? Because if it's before the pay-per-view and he gets busted or is told, no, you can't even make the pay-per-view, then that's how you decide who's going to get the title. I think Doug Williams as a wrestler has vastly improved since I saw him in Ring of Honor in 2002. And I don't know if the British Invasion gimmick's going to go anymore. Maybe keep the belt on him a little while longer and see if you can get him away from it. But like I said, it's a toss-up. It all depends when the crackhead kid's going away.
There you go. Okay, I'm going to say Doug Williams because I think crackhead kid's going away right after the pay-per-view.
Literally, they're going to cuff him and like, all right, Jeff, you're out of here. Let's go.
Okay, pay-per-view's over. Let's go, kid.
And we're going to film you going to jail, and that's the pay-per-view right there.
And that's the sequel to The Wrestler.
Produced by Bischoff Hervey Productions, man.
There you go.
That should be his whole TNA gimmick, is that two officers lead him down in handcuffs, and he just gets unlocked to have his wrestling match, and then right back into the cuffs, walking back.
So he's nailed?
Or is Norman the Lunatic going real old school reference?
Oh, God, Norman the Lunatic. Muck and stink. Yeah. All right, so the TNA World Tag Team Championship match, Matt Morgan and Hernandez, the champions, taking on Beer Money, Mace.
Even though it's probably not going to happen, I'm going to say it anyway. Beer Money.
Will.
Beer Money, just because they seem to be ready to break up Hernandez and Morgan already.
Okay, Omega.
Yeah, Beer Money. Morgan and Hernandez are about to implode.
Spug. Beer Money. Alan.
I gotta go with Beer Money, just because, like I already said, you know, they've been teasing this Hernandez Matt Morgan breakup, and also, hey, Beer Money's got a DVD coming as well. Might as well put them over. I think with the absence of Chris Harris, that James Storm, who could have gone on to a great singles career, has found a niche. And same thing with Bobby Roode. They took two good singles wrestlers that it could have been a car wreck, and instead of turning into one of the most entertaining tag teams you got, I got Beer Money gets the belts.
Ah, okay. I'm going to say Morgan and Hernandez. Kurt Angle taking on Mr. I can't wrestle without getting hurt. Anderson! Ace.
Do you really need to ask me who I'm going to pick?
It's like asking me if I'll pick Cena.
Seriously, Tim?
Ooh.
You think I'm not going to pick Kurt Angle for this bloody thing?
Why that? Do you think I picked you? I went to you first.
Yes, Kurt Angle's going to win. Fuck you, Ken Anderson.
There you go, Alan.
Kurt Angle takes it after the way that this didn't, what was the previous pay-per-view? Against All Odds? The pay-per-view names are so weird, I can't even remember. I gotta go with him, Kurt Angle, with the entire U.S. Army coming in while the referee is knocked down and beating him senseless. General Norman Petraeus will come in, the Premier of Canada will come in, the United Nations will come in, to Barry Anderson, whereas the character he belongs. I still don't understand why TNA even gave this guy a contract.
There he goes, Spug.
Ellen, you're an awesome man. I like you. I like you a lot.
I'm going to go for the All-American superstar in one Mr. Kurt Angle there. Alrighty then, Omega.
The only problem with it, Alan's scenario there is that W. Bush is going to come down 2 minutes into the match, declare it over, and then it's still going to go on for 20 minutes. I'm probably going to pick Mr. Anderson on that one.
That was funny to me.
It's going
to
be.
Was that Omega getting
dirty
political?
As hell, but
yes, that was Omega getting political and great at it.
Yeah, that was Omega doing Miller.
Thank God we're not in Texas.
There you go. Will.
I'm going to say Anderson. Why? Because this whole fucking storyline has been fucking terrible, and it's only made me hate Kurt Angle.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay, well, I'm going to say Kurt Angle.
It's contrived, and it's horrible, and it's full of shit. They're feuding over a medal you could buy at the TNA shop on their website.
Yeah, but then again, Booker T and Edge fought over a hair company contract a few years ago in WWE, so can't get any more original than that, guys.
I love that reference.
They're not fighting over a ring going, yeah, but Gandalf said I could have it, but this guy said I could have it.
There you go.
All right, next match. Eric Young and Kevin Nash versus Hall and Waltman. TNA contract or leave the company for good, Alan?
There's going to be a reformation of the band. I feel bad for Eric Young because he's been reinvented. What, this is the third reinvention of Showtime, Eric Young, from Team Canada.
You bastards.
We'll talk about Johnny Devine another day because we were talking about him Tuesday night, but I love Showtime. I love the way they've been booking him now as opposed to him when he used to come down and the pyro would go off and he'd fall down faking a heart attack. But I see a swerve coming. Unfortunately, poor Eric Young's going to get destroyed.
You stole that from me, I swear to God.
Sorry.
You did, too, because we were talking about that Tuesday night after the show. And that's exactly what I said. You bastard. You stole what I was going to say. Spud.
Borrowed.
Go Canada? I particularly don't care.
Okay, there you go. Then we'll move on to Mace.
What were we talking about again?
Eric Young and Kevin Nash versus Hall and Waltman. Hall and Oates.
I guess TNA probably needs a good supply of alcohol and weed, so they're going to keep Hall and Waltman around?
No. Alcohol and cocaine. Around. Alcohol and cocaine.
My apologies. Alcohol and cocaine. So those guys need contracts.
Have you seen the last call with Scott Hall on YouTube at all?
Rock was telling me about that. I need to check that out.
Yeah, it's like an 8-9 minute thing. Him and some Florida guys, Jason Rant, and I think it's Mr. St. Laurent help him film it. They had him, Zabisco over to watch the replay on the Monday night show. And it's the most interesting 8-minute car wreck you'll ever watch on pay-per-view, on a YouTube channel.
YouTube turning into pay-per-view.
Pretty much. I don't know. It's 12-something at night, and I'm a little tired.
There we go. All right, who's next? Omega.
Young and Nash, if only because I severely doubt TNA can afford Hall's bar tab and Waltman's hair grease.
Well?
Fuck, I had something witty, then I blacked out.
And you want to review the Scott Hall of WTR.
Finally, y'all a bit slow there. I'm going to say Hall and Waltman, but who cares about who's going to win? Because the Impact Zone will never be in better form than hearing chants of Hall is wasted and fuck you, Sean.
Yeah, Hall is wasted, fuck you, Sean. Well, you know, Alan stole my thunder because we were talking about it, and you stole it.
I'll give it back. Right?
You didn't borrow it because you got a chance to say it before I did. But, yeah, I'm
never allowed on the show.
There you go. I brought this up last week. You know, I smell swerve coming. I feel it in my bones. The band's getting back together, and Nash is going to – he's, you know, yapped for like a month now or 2 months now that he's put his neck on the line for these guys, this, that, and the other thing, and all of a sudden he's now towing the company line. That's it, this, that, and the other thing. Fine. Here it is. Winning, you get the contract, lose, and get the out.
We're not going to see a finger poke of Doom, are we?
No. Wait, what?
So the whole band is getting back together. They were together back in January, and then they split apart, and Nash went to do his own thing, and you know now it's a few months later. And all of this is coming back around, and the Grand Master Plan is coming together to beat up Eric Young?
Well, don't you find it kind of interesting when they met in the ring to agree to the contract, Hall and Nash shook hands, but when Eric Young went to shake Pac's hand, Waltman went and cold cocked him?
No, I don't find that.
Don't even worry. Okay, well, there is...
What, you're going to sucker punch the 7-foot-tall guy?
Yeah, Hall's not that drunk.
Well, it is Hall, you never know.
But, you know, that... You'd have to think that
maybe Bischoff would be in on the scheme, since, you know, he is a bit closer to Hall and Nash than Hogan seems to be. But fucking Bischoff gave Young the license to kill on Thursday.
You have to remember that Bischoff was the hidden mastermind behind the NWO.
Which this totally feels like. I feel like I'm watching WCW 1996, and it's like, if I want to watch that, I got a few DVDs in my closet, I'll throw them in instead of giving Dixie Carter and them my money.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wojcik, but that's exactly what I'm talking about. Okay, moving on. Next match, ladder match, Kazarian versus Daniels versus Amazing Red versus Brian Kendrick. Will?
Oh, my God. Two spot fest matches on a pay-per-view? I'm in heaven.
Woohoo! It's your generation, Will. You ruined wrestling.
Ah, fuck me. My obvious choice here, just because of the mark in me, is going to be Brian Kendrick.
Alrighty. Well, Omega, what do you think?
I didn't even notice that Brian Kendrick was in TNA now. When did that happen?
Sometime between Thursday and Monday. A month ago.
Does he still look like the victim of a drive-by bedazzling?
Yes. Yes, he does.
Kind of.
Oh, odd. Unfortunately, no. Absolutely not. I'm going to pick Daniels, if only because he deserves way, way better than this.
Okay. Mace.
I don't put this as a show stealer, to be honest, and because, well, hell, it's spot festy as all fuck. I'm going to go with Kenzarian on this one after his big speech of how going to bring the X Division into focus and being the main staple of TNA that it used to be.
There Can you say go. His name again?
Kazarian.
Okay, that's not what I heard the first time.
Suicide.
No, I heard Kenzarian, and I was like, wow. What?
Yeah, you said Kenzarian.
Did I? Oh.
Yeah, you're at an end and they don't belong.
What was that, Omega?
I think he's got Ken Anderson on the brain.
Really? Because it seemed more like William Ringel with his Umanga.
Okay, wait a second. Did you just say William Ringel?
Yes, I did.
Hey, welcome to mispronouncing names on WTR. My God, it's infectious.
Hey, get back to the topic. We're talking about Kazarni versus Jack Daniels here.
There you go, Spud.
I'm going for Christopher Daniels.
Okay,
because I'm a mark.
Going for CD. All right, Alan.
Frank of the Future, Kazarian takes it. They've been pushing him, and they need to give him something since they canned his wife, so I see Kaz taking it.
They canned Brooks?
Oh, yeah, she was gone 2 weeks ago. Her, the official line was, we really don't have anything to do for you. And I'm like, yeah, right. That's like telling Jenna Jameson, yeah, we really can't come up with any scripts for you, Jenna, so bye-bye.
Yeah, there it is. Okay, Frankie Kazarian and Tracy Brooks get married, and it comes out that Frankie Kazarian's been screwing around on his fiance and his wife. As a matter of fact, he porked one of the bridesmaids at the wedding reception, and there are nude pictures of Kazarian out there on the internet now. And Tracy Brooks, because she's all upset about this. Oh, sorry, we got to let you go. We're focusing on Kaz. Have fun. We'll buy you a ticket to the pay per view.
And she's like one of the most hurted women in the business. I feel so bad for her because she dated Sin Bodhi and then left. They broke up, and then she was dating CM Punk and then got cheated on not once but twice by Punk. So then you get cheated on by Punk thinking, all right, Kat. And I love Frankie Kazarian as a person. He's a great person to sit and have a conversation with, and I felt real bad for all the stuff that happened to him with WWE and TNA. But how do you do that to Tracy? I don't understand. Why cheat on somebody? That's like cheating on Angelina Jolie. Oh, wait, that's right. Billy Bob Thornton did that. Next topic, please.
Yeah, there you go.
I see Mr. Topical.
Yeah, sorry.
All right, Angelina Jolie and Billy Bob Thornton. Never mind that, okay? Get a little bit more current. Tiger Woods cheating on Elon. I mean,
yeah.
supermodel wife of his is 10 times hotter than any of those fucking bar tarts he bought. She's not that hot. She's 10 times harder than any of the bar tarts he bought.
You haven't seen the porn star that he bought, did you?
Yeah, I did. And you know what? All the pictures are airbrushed.
Whose pictures aren't these days?
She's a 6, dressed up as an 8.5. Take my word for it. Anyway, okay, ladder match. I don't care who the fuck wins. I'm looking forward to the fact that TNA can put on a hell of a good ladder match, and that's all I care about.
Yeah, yeah.
Agreed.
So that's my pick. But if I have to say somebody, they're going to give it to Kaz, because, yeah, they're not gonna bring Kaz in after all this bullshit to give him the push that they give him just to stall him, you know, just to stall him 5 feet away from the finish line. Ain't going to happen. So
well,
Kaz, but overall, I don't fucking care.
Well, with what they did on Monday, it was a great way to say, oh, by the way, here's our X Division, and this just, you know, put Kaz in a match where he can be stronger and still get that push he needs, so it works.
Yep. So, there it is. There it is. It's our TNA pay-per-view preview pick, as it were. And that pay-per-view is, I do believe, next Sunday, which means that we're going to be on a little late next week, right after the pay-per-view. If you want to make a note of that.
Following week's Mania.
And the following week is Mania. Meaning, we've got a Saturday night WrestleMania preview special Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR, Saturday night before CB Radio. Alan, you want to join us for that program?
Yeah,
if I'm available, if I'm available, yeah, I don't have a problem being on. That's the 27th, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Okay.
We usually go on after the Hall of Fame.
Fuck, I'm going to miss that too. God damn it.
On the one that's on USA Network or the actual Hall of Fame itself?
We're actually going to be on during the USA Network Hall of Fame ceremonies.
Yeah.
Which is now like the most heavily edited event ever after, was it Flair that went on for 6 hours?
Something like
that. That went on for 6 hours.
By the time you finished, it felt like 6 hours. But yeah, there. So I do believe that's the 27th of March. So everybody mark that on calendars and tune in to listen to us yap about WrestleMania 26 the day before it happens.
By the way, Alan, have you voted?
Where am I voting? Oh, that's right, your site. No, I haven't gotten there yet. Sorry, I only knew about it because I heard you guys talking about it. I'm sorry. I'm behind the times.
You need to go and vote. It's round two.
I'll go.
So there it is, and there you go. Alan, I'd like to thank you very much for calling in and having a little wrestle chat with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Sticking around for the DX preview. So after the show's over, don't forget to click that banner on top of the chat there right below where it says what it says, which is what it says. And it'll take you to the page where you can go and click on everybody to take our last time out of the evening, come back with quick hits, and then wrap up the damn show. You'll listen to the TR, so we'll be back right after this.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Eric Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Darian.
Anderson Stout.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Wickerman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site for pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Man, Polly, what do you want for Christmas?
Oh, man, I've got my fingers crossed. I've been very good this year, and I'm hoping underneath my tree I find the 3-disc commemorative set of Braden Walker's greatest hits.
Yeah.
Oh. Cool, man. Wow. Yeah. Remember that time he stood with his hands on his hips?
Who can forget the time he walked down the ring?
For 3 weeks in mid-July.
How about the time he talked to Matt Hardy? Remember that? That was
and he wrestled that other guy.
He did. It's all available in stores now. Get it for Mick. It's
15 minutes of our time.
Great 3-disc set. Check it out.
This is Mace telling you to tune in to Anything Goes with Cindy Sin. That can go from anywhere from 10:30 to 12:30 Eastern. Thursday nights, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. But I tell you what, she gets us some really dirty stuff on that show. Good stuff. Currently on his way down from the ring. Well, right down to the ring. I fucked it up already. Bug, you want to do it?
And now, hailing from St. Louis, Missouri, your WWE champion, the Lion, Randy Ambiguously Gay Orton!
Ooh, I'm on my way. What the fuck?
All right. The producer is twisted.
The Ambiguously Gay Trio.
Isn't that something that they should make a skit out of in, I don't know, on Saturday Night Live or something?
They're ambiguous, and they're gay.
And there's three of them!
Didn't they originally do that for Batman?
No, there was an Ambiguously Gay Duo. It was a cartoon on Saturday Night Live. It was,
yeah,
that's
why I
see funny. Yeah.
That's why I said that. Okay.
I'm Australian. I don't get to see that shit.
And next week on Monday Night Raw, Legacy debuts their new finishing move, the double bear hug.
All right, before we get into quick hits, got a quick little note that might be of interest to all of the Otaku Talk Live geeks, seeing who's got the three hosts on here. Where did it go? The first issue of WWE Heroes comic book goes on sale March 23rd from Titan Publishing. And apparently the artwork is really good, although none of the characters would pass the wellness test. Matt Hardy has better abs than John Morrison.
Fail.
I didn't write that.
I have this currently sitting on my waiting list at the comic book store. I will go down when it comes out. I shall be doing a write-up for my column from the Mind of Mace, and I'll even include scans of various pictures from the fucking book just to illustrate points. Hell, I might even do a little bit of shady and find some way for people to get it without actually having them pay for the shit.
I just knew that one of you guys would glom onto it. There you go. All right, enough of that crap. It's time for quick hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk for you. Quick hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
The step up to the plate and get ready for some WrestleTalk Radio Quick Hits.
And as my computer slowly but surely decides that now is the time for everything to freeze, it's going to take a couple seconds for me to call up the questions. Here we go. Okay, Quick Hits. By the way, everybody, if you want to have one of the guys answer a question you're thinking about, come up with a quick hit of your own. Just email your question, your quick hit, to admin@wildtalkradio.com, and we will use your questions. Once again, admin@wildtalkradio.com, and we'll get your questions out there ASAP, basically, as soon as we get them, probably the next show. Starting off tonight is Will. What wrestler would you like to have sing you happy birthday? Will?
Really?
Where's Will?
He's out cold.
All right, we'll come back to Will. Omega, what diva would you like to have come out of your birthday cake?
Do you have to ask?
Lita!
No.
Not everybody listening knows you. Yeah, you got to answer it.
In fact, if she was in the cakes, it'd probably mold instantly, so it can be Lita. It has to be Trish Stratus, if only because I've always wanted to see her covered in frosting.
Ooh, there's a picture to make your mouth water. Mace!
I will be willing to go diabetic for that.
That would make you go diabetic. All of that sugar. My goodness. And I'm not just talking about the frosting. Mace! What has been the best Ultimate X matchup that you've ever seen?
Oh, God, now you're actually trying to get me to remember shit.
That you can remember, Shane.
I can't remember who was in this match. The only thing I can remember is the amount of times the X kept falling off the cables they had strung up over the top. I think at one point the referee won the match because he caught the damn X.
Yeah.
But other than that, I can't remember who was in it. That's the only moment that I can remember from it.
Okay.
So it goes to show how bad my memory is these days.
Yeah, that's all it counts. But, yeah, I remember they were so disappointed by all of that, they actually gave that match away the following Thursday night.
It had Petey Williams and I think Chris Sabin in it.
Wow.
Welcome back, by the way, Will.
Yeah, Will comes back to give us facts, and he doesn't even answer his own question when asked.
There you go.
I had to pee. Fuck off.
Next question. Spud, what's your favorite Stone Cold moment?
My favorite Stone Cold moment. The night after he won the title at Mania, when he came out on Raw, and McMahon was talking about turning him into a corporate champion, and how he would have to, look and behave and act like a corporate champion. And he came out in a suit with the belt. And then the next thing you know, he's putting McMahon flat on his back with a stunner. And, he's got his trunks on and he's drinking beers and flipping off the crowd. That was probably one of my favorite Stone Cold moments.
There you go. I don't normally do this, but I'm going to. My favorite Stone Cold moment is the interview, where he says, "Austin, Austin 316 just said I just whipped your ass."
King of the Ring when he beat Jake the Snake Roberts.
Yep. Now that, in my opinion, marks the absolute beginning of the turning of the tide in WWE's favor from WCW was that moment. And that's my favorite Stone Cold moment. So.
Well, you didn't have when he threw the Intercontinental title off a bridge into a river?
No.
That was a good one, too.
It was a good one, but no, my favorite was the interview where he said, Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass. Will?
Yes?
Who should be the announcers for WrestleMania?
JR, if they can get him back. Stryker. And, this is hard because the other two, well, they're useless anyways. But, fuck Michael Cole, Jerry King, Lawler. Oh. So,
There you go.
If not, then it's probably going to be the usual tandem of Starker, Cole, and King.
Oh, yay. Do we get a chance to hear Jerry Lawler tell Cole to shut the fuck up again?
Oh, that'd be great.
Wouldn't that be great? Of course, he'd make it PG, so he'd probably say shut the hell up.
When did he tell Cole to shut up?
I think it was the last pay-per-view, and it might not have been Jerry. It might have been Stryker, but one of them said something to basically shut up Michael Cole.
You know, when are they going to change Cole as an announcer? He's horrible.
Yeah, if you blinked, you missed it. If you put your finger in your ear to scratch it, you probably didn't hear it. Will, we're staying with you for your second question because you missed the first one. What wrestler would you like to have sing happy birthday to you?
What?
Which wrestler would you like having...
No, I heard you. I'm just... What? Okay.
Come on, it's a vintage question.
No, is it now? Have I answered this before? fuck it, Beth Phoenix.
Interesting. Okay. Omega... Which wrestler would you...
Hall. Yes.
That was... No, that's not your question. Which wrestler would you like to be the apprentice of?
Oh. This is tricky. As easy of an answer as it would be, it wouldn't be Rob Van Dam, because I personally don't want to be flying through the air most of my career. I know my luck. My career would be all of 3 weeks. Honestly, Dean Malenko.
Ooh,
I would love to, you know, if I was in the ring, I'd much prefer to be a submissionist.
That's a good call right there.
Cool.
All right, Mace. With it recently coming out that Vince McMahon named his yacht the Sexy Bitch. Vince McMahon.
Hey, what?
Vince, no word of a lie. Vince McMahon bought a yacht and named it the Sexy Bitch. Keeping that
wow.
in mind, what would you name your yacht?
The holy shit, I've got a yacht.
Holy shit, I got a yacht.
Because mind it you? Means I've got fucking money.
That reminds me of that joke of the two muffins in the oven. One muffin turns to the other and says, "Don't you find it hot in here?" And the other muffin says, "Holy fuck, a talking muffin."
That's the sausage joke.
Spud. You guys are all going to love this question, this last question for Spud. If you were to start your own wrestling promotion, would you focus on midgets?
I would have a midgets division.
Would you focus on midgets?
No.
I'm not talking about like the whole wrestling in the ring all about midgets, but I mean like have them all over the place during all the other matches and the backroom shit and stuff like that.
No, because while midgets are awesome and you can never have too many midgets, I think there's a point for some people where they don't know how to handle that many midgets, so they might get a little creeped out.
You can never have too many midgets. That's because they're small and they fit everywhere.
You know, here's the thing. I want to become friends with, like, a bunch of midgets and go to one of those, like, car cram competitions and turn my little Nissan into, like, a clown car and have, like, 50 midgets get out at once and just go, "I win."
There you go, I win. Because there's no stipulation that says you must be this tall to participate.
Or weigh this much, yeah. See, like, if I could cram, like, 50 midgets into my car. It'd be awesome.
It'd be kind of, sweet smell at the end of the day, wouldn't it? Oh, my God. So there it is. Quick hits. You know what? It's time for... It's time for the two-minute rant. Now, who are we picking tonight?
God, I forgot all about this.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mace.
Yay.
Now, Rock's going to start the clock. He's going to let you know when it's time for you to go and start ranting until you get the two-minute buzzer. Are you ready? Go.
I don't really know if I'd call this sort of a rant, but more of a asking why type thing. Tell you a little story about when I was away from the interwebs, and I was out playing poker on a Thursday night. New girl rocks in, pretty cute, quite a few tattoos, metal head, nice set of tits. So, get to talking with her, and she seems to be very flirty. Unfortunately, there's the overboard of flirty. Basically, the first thing she decided to talk about was how well she could give head. This really caught me by surprise. But, however, after that type of conversation, she turns around, and she ends up talking with this Indian guy, starts flirting with him, then goes to the bar, he buys her a drink, and she openly says to me, not long afterwards, no interest in the Indian guy, I just wanted the drink. She then proceeds to do that with every single male that she could that was playing poker that night. Now, I really just want to know, why do women believe that they can get away with this type of shit?
That, because they can.
You know, they turn around and they go, oh, I want a guy to be nice to me, I want this and want that. But then they turn into these flirty fucking bitches who do nothing but try and take the money out of a guy's wallet. And when it doesn't work, she drops him and then fucks off. Oh, well, you know, it didn't really bother me because, hell, she didn't fucking work the magic on me because I actually saw through her stupid bullshit. Especially when she went after a friend of mine, and when he turned around and asked her for a number, she proceeds to show him a picture on her phone of the guy she is fucking's cock. Thank you and good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Yes, let's leave off on a stranger's cock. Thank you very much.
That's not the mental image we were going for, but, you know, the tattoo.
Yeah, no, but this is what happens when you tell me 2 hours before a show, hey, you got something to rant on, and despite my searching through every major news site I could get a hold of, there was absolutely nothing worth ranting on this week.
Dale Music, are you sure she wasn't a Hardy fan?
No, because she's actually old school metal, not emo bitch.
Oh, okay, well, that's totally different, man. Like, old school metal, man. Stay away from them bitches, because all they'll do is shine you on just so they can get free drinks.
Pretty much. Unless you got half a brain, then you tell them to get fucked.
There you go. JT Jean wants you to keep going even though you're done. He's thinking it was getting funny.
To be honest, there was not much more to the story.
There you go. So you pretty much heard the story. There you go. We got a caller. Final action here on WTR Sunday night. Everybody look at the clock and guess who the fuck's called in. Go ahead, caller, talk.
All right. I know I'm about 15 minutes late, so...
Get close to your bike.
All right. Sorry. I need to get a headset. But, well, I got something to say over the what happened on Monday night. Is the clock starting, or... I don't know.
Yeah, go.
Is it going to start? All right.
No.
So, we all watch a Monday night on Impact. Well, some of us are. And what do we see at the main event? We see Hogan and Flair bleeding all over the place. This is not what I want to see anymore, TNA. Hogan and Flair, who are in their late 50s, who should probably be in some retirement home somewhere, or... chilling back and relaxing, but you know why they can't do that? Because Hogan's wife left his ass for some young guy, and since here we go, and we also got Flair, and Flair's all divorced now, and we saw the retirement and all, we clapped for everything and all that, but what happens after retirement? Okay, I'm going to have my son wrestle for you. Oh wait, he's an heroin addict, let's go with that. And my wife divorced me? How great. I got to go back into wrestling. Let me call over Hogan. His career is tarnished just as much, too. Let's get him. And Flair can't. And it's sad to see that they have to wrestle like this now. All like this, bleeding like they would in their early days in their heyday. They're not in their heyday anymore. They're only doing this because they need a paycheck. Because their wives have left them.
Yep. Rant over. Good. So basically, Randy, you're another person who's sick and tired of shit in TNA.
Pretty much, because it's like I like Flair and Hogan in what they're doing now, not wrestling, because it's sad to see that retirement that was all well put for Flair not being put to use. And nowadays, Flair is probably even a credible wrestler, is slapped around by his wife, giving him the figure four across the face.
Alrighty. Thank you, Randy, for calling in. So we're going to have to let you go so we can wrap up the show.
There we go. Okay, Randy, I need you to do one favor for me. Okay? I know that you're no longer on or anything like that, but I need you to go around and collect a bunch of Coke bottles and stuff. Take them to the nearest bottle depot, and with the money that you get, head down to your local Walmart. Spend $10 fucking dollars on a headset mic, for Christ's sake. There's my rant. Oh, it is so annoying listening to somebody talk on one of those built-in microphones. They're shit. They don't work. They're lousy. They suck. They're like watching Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan in the ring bleeding all over the place.
Because nothing says wrestling like old, bloody, leathery man boobs.
There you go. And that's just an image I didn't need, Will. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Don't forget, everybody, next week, TNA pay-per-view. Destination X. Destination X pay-per-view. We're going to be live right after it. We're going to break it down. We're going to hope that tomorrow night TNA continues the trend with some good, exciting wrestling. And yeah, just point out last week, Raw had like 10 minutes of wrestling, and TNA had like an hour and 10 minutes of wrestling. A lot of the matches were really short, you know, like 20 seconds, but they still had almost an hour, 10 minutes worth of wrestling wrapped around their storyline. So, all you people yapping and bitching and whining and crying, oh, there's not enough wrestling on these wrestling shows. Well, watch TNA tomorrow night and see if that changes your mind. And if you don't watch TNA tomorrow night, don't come to me throughout the week and start bitching about how it's the same old shit, because I won't listen to you. That's all there is to it. Tuesday night, don't forget to join us for OWW Radio. You heard Alan Wojcik, one of the hosts of OWW Radio, call in earlier tonight, talk a little bit of wrestling with us. You might want to check out Tuesday. He's got somebody lined up, so there's going to be an interview or something like that. It could possibly deal with wrestling. But once OWW Radio is over and done with, then we've got OTL. Do we have OTL this week, guys?
Pretty sure.
Pretty positive. There was a minor hiatus last week, but that's, there's a good reason for it. So, and, just keep coming back to the website, check for updates, and read all of the wonderful columns that get posted on a regular basis. I know Will's going to put pen to paper, figuratively speaking, yet once again, and throw something up there, Mace, with his column. And, of course, we've got Aaron, some guy named Aaron, who writes about Match of the Week. If you want to write a column, then email admin@wildtalkradio.com with a sample of what you would be doing, and we'll get back to you. That being said, I'm all out. Guys, final words. Start with Will.
I got nothing.
Okay, Omega.
Well, here's to hoping RVD lasts longer in his next match with TNA.
Yeah, let's go for 40 seconds. There you go. Mace.
Yeah.
Looking forward to listening to the Scott Hall last call thing, but then straight after that I'm going on and playing Final Fantasy 13. Yes, Omega, I did buy it.
Uh-oh. And yet you haven't the money to send me a box.
Oh, my God.
That's why. Hey, I'm trying to beat Tim Stein's record.
Okay,
I'm trying to beat Tim Stein for the longest holdout on sending people anything.
Yeah, there you go. Spug, final words. I want to interview Leapin' Lanny Poffo and Fuck Man. I'm out, bitches.
There you go.
All right, and by the way, Matt, you got to pay us royalty because we're saying your name. It's not the other way around. There you go. Running the Ropes this Friday. Everybody, tune in. It's going to be a fun show on Running the Ropes. I just might call in and talk a little bit of wrestling with Maverick. You never know. We'll have yourselves a great week. We'll talk to you again real soon.
You've been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.